720 WGN, and a pleasant Saturday morning to you out there, everybody in Chicagoland and beyond. Matt Bubala is, well, he already worked, right? He worked earlier today.
Yeah.
And, or yesterday, I guess you could say. So it is myself, John Hansen, and the wonderful Michael Heidemann joining me.
John, it's so great to be on air with you.
Everyone's very familiar with you because obviously you're Patty's producer.
Yes.
And she really just threw you under the bus, by the way. And we couldn't do crosstalk because of some communication things. So we just had to sit here in the studio while she threw you directly under the bus. And I gotta ask, how does it make you feel?
Well, I took it like basically like getting hit by a bus. No.
You're devastated.
It was fantastic. I love Patty. Yes, I'm the executive producer of the Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez. Ooh,
added
shows.
The executive right there, Roger. I don't know if you heard that executive.
Wait a minute, I didn't see that in his business cards.
Right?
Mm-hmm. I needed to add it just in case anybody thought that I was kicked off the show.
Oh, I got you. Okay.
I'm still the producer. And John, you yourself are the one and only host of the a one-time host of the Jam and a yes. correspondent on that terrific show right now.
Oh, he's more than a correspondent. Have you seen what he's done?
I've done some. I'm a weather guy now too, Roger.
Yeah, I saw that. And you got kids to do your work. I love how you handle all that.
You know, that's I think my favorite part about our new show on WCIU is they have me doing the weather out in the field, uh-huh. and I love just letting other people do it for me because I still get the money for it.
Well, it's so like I get my grandkids to wash the car. I said, hey guys, you want to go play with the water and the suds?
Right.
Yeah, sure.
There you go. There you go.
And then they bug their mom to come over on days they're not supposed to come over to want to wash the car.
Free labor is better than paying for it. 312-981-7200. Join the conversation. Talk or text. Mike, and it'll be. I got to ask this because I call you Michael.
Yes.
Do you prefer Michael or Mike?
You know what? Mike, Michael, Matt, Giuseppe, anything is pretty much fine.
Now, I hate when people say that. Just don't call me late for dinner. No, pick one.
I like Mike. Usually, it's very strange, you know, because I'm sure other people out there in the listening world has gone through this. But when your name is Mike or something very popular, I find that when I'm around females, they call me Michael almost 100% of the time.
Huh.
And all my guy friends call me Mike. They refuse to call me Michael.
What does it mean that I call you Michael? We got Jessica Raines here producing. How you doing, Jessica?
Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
I guess it is morning. I still think of the 2 to 3 a.m. hour as Friday night. It takes me a while to adjust to that effect on Saturday morning.
Just shows the adventurous life you live, John.
Yeah, but this is the first time I'm working with Jessica. I'm really excited about this.
Me too.
I am so excited to hear about the town that you grew up in, which is going to come up a little bit later in the show, I promise, because it's a small town. We're going to be talking about some small town things as well and plenty other things on the show. But, Michael, we got to address this, as I called you, Michael, again.
Thank you, sir.
We got to address the fact that normally, I mean, there's like a rhythm to things here at WGN. And, you know, sometimes Matt Bubala has to fill in during the week or sometimes he's gone. Same thing with Dave Plyer. Sometimes he fills in during the week and then his shift opens up on the weekends. And the way it usually works is Stephanie Menendez, who does a lot of the scheduling here.
The great Stephanie Menendez.
Love her. And I am used to the schedule of Esmeralda and I will fill in for Matt and you and Kevin will fill in for Dave Plyer with sound sessions.
Mm-hmm.
That's often the way it works out for a weekend, if we're doing it. I don't know if that's by plan or not. So it's interesting that I feel like we're both cheating on our radio spouses by being here today.
Yeah.
Do you feel that way or no? Do you feel guilty about it, awkward about it?
I didn't until you brought it up.
Right.
And now I kind of feel guilty about that. We're kind of cheating on our relative radio cohorts.
Right. And Roger's like the kid that we have to tell not to tell. Don't tell mom or dad that don't tell Esmeralda that we're cheating on her.
What's it worth it to you?
Yeah. How about the Seagrams down here?
Yeah, baby.
Mom, Dad, you're ruining my birthday party.
So no, it's interesting because Michael, we're friends.
Yes.
We've had many a drink together, a beer together at a bar. But it's interesting. Yeah. It's different when you co-host with someone for the first time. So
yeah, it's very when I was asked to host, I was a bit shocked because I knew Kevin wasn't going to be able to, and, and Stephanie sent me the text message. They said this man named John Hansen is going to
stranger,
be hosting.
This interloper,
right? Exactly,
and he wants to know if you could host with him, and I thought, well, let me talk with my sweetheart, and then I'll see if it's going to happen.
No, and I'm just so jealous of Kevin because his biceps are just so gigantic. I feel like I'm not filling the role.
Well, wait a minute. I've seen you in this shirt right now. He's looking pretty fit. Okay. I mean, minus the tattoos, you're just like Kevin.
Exactly.
And I hope that I can fill the shoes of Esmeralda as well.
You can't. It's okay. Nice for trying, though. 312-981-7200. We're going to talk about a lot of stuff today. Adam Grabowski is going to be joining us at the bottom of the hour. He's a comedian. He's been on America's Got Talent. And I have a funny connection to him from like 8 years ago. I didn't even know Jessica had booked a comedian, which is great. And I thought, oh, that's wonderful. And then I found out who it was. And I have this connection to this comedian. We've actually performed on the same stage before.
What? Is this a night of just you connecting with other people from the past?
It sure is. And then later on in the show, we have a high school dropout. She dropped out because of bullying, really excessive bullying. She's completed her degree, and now she has started a comic book series aimed at helping people that are bullied and do that. So that's like a really noble cause for her. So we got a lot of other stuff. Oh, and what else are we going to do? We're going to talk about song lyrics that we often mess up. This is
perfect, especially since there's so many concerts and music events happening here in the city. I'm sure that everyone has, you know, their favorite song that they've been misquoting for years, whether it be Blinded by the Light or something like that.
So get those lyrics in, 312-981-7200. And we're also, look, Lady Gaga's in town tonight. Green Day was at Wrigley last night. So many concerts. You know, Chicago is full of so many cultural and amazing things to do. And look, we give it enough play on WGN, and as well we should. But there are so many wonderful small communities out there, and I'm talking really small communities, and we want to open this up to you to talk about what is big in your small town. Obviously, here in the early morning hours, WGN, 38 states in Canada, people probably listening all over the Midwest, maybe into the Western states, the Eastern states, into Canada. If you live in a really small town, and this is not to poke fun at anything, I love big events in small towns. Tell us about the most unique thing. Maybe it's happening this weekend. Maybe it's happening sometime in September. We want to hear about the big events in your small town and give it a little plug. And I think if we're going to pick the best one and make a commercial for them before the end of the show.
Yes, you get your own homemade commercial like John and I.
Yes, we're going to make your commercial. So we're going to give you some examples of that coming up, but plenty more with Michael Heidemann and John Hansen here on 720 WGN. WGN. Nice job, Mike, with that. That's a That was a great job with that live read.
Well, you know, I've been practicing.
Yeah,
so
really?
It feels good.
And well, wasn't that good.
I want to make sure we tame the Tigers.
Yeah, for sure. 312-981-7200. We want to hear what's happening in your small town. We give so much plug to Chicago, and, you know, rightfully so. We got a lot of great things going on.
I'm so sick of talking about Chicago. I want to talk small towns.
Honestly, so am I. I grew up in Downers Grove, which is a suburb, so not really a small town by any stretch of the imagination. I spent a lot of time, though, in college and beyond down in Urbana-Champaign, which also is not a small town by most definitions, smaller than Chicago certainly. But for example, in Urbana tonight, it's the start of the Sweet Corn Festival, which is like a big deal in Urbana. And it's not, I'm not making fun of Urbana when I talk about the Sweet Corn Festival. It's a really big thing for everyone in the town and the surrounding area. Smash Mouth played there last year, and the lead singer couldn't finish the act. He was too drunk or something and couldn't finish it. But that was
sweet corn.
That was the biggest news in Champaign County for like the year. But it was like the coolest thing. And so that's what we want you to call in or text in, 312-981-7200. We're going to give you some plug for the best things happening in our small towns in the listening area.
Yes, I think that that's a great test of the commercial we're going to give them. It's just the, hey, so in a Three Corn Festival, Smash Mouth couldn't even make it through.
Right.
Come on down.
So we have a list. Jessica put together a list from the internet of 20 small towns with the most unique festivals in America. Mike, you got a couple of them here, right?
Yes, I do. I do. I wanted to give a quick shout out to the annual National Shrimp Festival in Gulf Shores, Alabama. You know, back there, I guess shrimping is a really big thing there. It's not easy being shrimping.
Yeah, didn't you see Forrest Gump? For sure. Along the food boardwalk, you'll find the tiny crustaceans prepared in a variety of mouth-watering ways. Boiled, fried, and grilled, you name it. See, this is an example of what the commercial would be. We're actually going to get a phone call right now on this one. We're going to go to Ed in Indiana. Ed, how's it going?
Pretty good.
All right,
I'm
so
lucky I had a cramp. I woke up and I heard you guys.
Well,
thank you, cramp.
That's actually some of the biggest. That's our biggest listener demographic.
Yes,
post cramp listeners. They call us. They love us, and we appreciate it, Ed. All right, so where are you from, Ed?
I'm from Union Mills, Indiana.
Union Mills, Indiana.
50 miles southeast of you guys. About 15 miles south of Michigan City.
And
the, you got to use Michigan City as a pin mark.
Yeah.
Then you know you're small.
That yeah, Glenn Rosenbaum is from Union Mills.
You got it. How did you know Glennie?
Because I looked up it on Wikipedia. I just Googled it right now. So.
Oh, you guys.
It doesn't even have your population on here. Usually it tells you how many people live in Union Mills.
600.
Okay. So small. That's definitely would qualify as small. Did you grow up in Union Mills?
It's a pretty good size festival. It's called the Mill Pond Festival.
And what happens?
And there used to be seven mills in the area, mm-hmm. Regular water mills, water chute mills. And so the original mill pond is still there at our conservation club. And a few years back, this is 20, 30 years back, they had a group of people that wanted to make the pond nice again and clean it up and get the scum off of it and everything else. And so they keep it clean. It looks beautiful. It's a gorgeous setting.
It's a festival to clean the pond?
Well, it raises money for throughout the year. The mill pond, the festival money is used to help keep the pond clean and run other organizations. And it's really a fun time. And there's a lot of little things, arts and crafts. And
okay.
They have fireworks.
Oh.
There's all kinds of little eatery deals that come out and tractor pulls.
Oh, yes. Now we're talking.
Tournaments. And it's a good time. It's 2 days.
And when is it normally held? Have we missed it already?
It's today. Today and tomorrow.
Oh, man.
Mill Pond Festival today and tomorrow.
John, happy Mill Pond Festival.
We should go. Yeah, Jessica says we should go.
I think you should, too.
Man.
I think if you want to ride, I'll come get you.
Oh, you know, I'm having some cramps, Ed. Sorry. I'm having some cramps. I'm not able to go. No, Ed, we appreciate the phone call. The Mill Pond Festival in Union Mills, knocking it right off the park from the get-go. Thanks so much for listening, Ed.
All right, later.
Have a great day. I like that one. That's a really good one. That's a really good start to one. Jessica, you chimed in, and we got to get you on here, because where are you from, Jessica? You're from a really small town.
Caneville, Illinois.
Caneville, Illinois, which if you haven't heard of it, is in Kane County, right?
Correct.
And the home of the high school, which is?
Caneland Knights.
Which is the Caneland Knights, okay.
And your mascot is?
A knight.
A knight.
Oh.
Caneland Knights,
I thought it was a cane. Sorry.
Big old candy cane. And what is the big event in Caneville? Because you got a big one, right?
Yes.
What's it called?
My high school has drive your tractor to school day.
Really?
Yes.
Well, I mean, is it a really big farming community?
Yes.
Okay, so does everyone in the high school, are they part of a farming family usually, or a lot of people are?
A lot of the students do come from farming families.
So how many tractors end up coming to the school usually on one of these days?
On an average day, probably. The whole parking lot, the whole east end of the parking lot is just filled up with tractors parked there. There's not enough room for like actual faculty or other students to park because there's so many tractors.
Wait, so the faculty doesn't take their tractors in too? You think they would?
Yeah, you think they would take part in that?
I would assume they could. I mean, anybody is welcome to participate in it if you have a tractor.
You know what?
I would rent a tractor, by the way.
Oh,
just to partake.
When I was going to high school, there was always the kids who had the BMWs and the Lamborghinis and everything. Was there like a Lamborghini of tractors like one kid pulled up on, and you're like, oh, Brian's here again, showing off.
No, but there was one student who graduated with my class. He lived down the street from me. They do own a couple of the farmlands like a half a mile down the street.
Mm-hmm.
And he would always drive his tractor on drive your tractor to school day.
Okay.
And his driveway was actually a street because it was so long.
Whoa.
Wow. That's street big time. Driveway. Was it named after the family and stuff? Did they name the street after them or no?
No, it's just a driveway that has a street name now.
Sometimes people name it after themselves.
Yeah.
When was that in the school year? Was that like at the end of the school year, like a celebration, or was it at the beginning? Or
it's been a while, but it's usually either like right at the beginning of the year or right at the end of the year.
Okay. Mm. Drive your tractor to school day in Caneville, Illinois. That's awesome.
I think that's really cool. I have kind of a silly question.
Okay.
you know, a lot of these towns, they often have kind of a beauty pageant that goes along with a lot of these festivals. Was there like a king and queen of the tractors?
Oh, that's an interesting question, Jessica. Did you have a king and queen of bring your tractor to work day? Or to school day, I should say.
No, can't recall, but I did just Google drive your tractor to school day to see when the last time my high school had something posted. And apparently we have something on Urban Dictionary now.
Okay. All right. That's always a good distinction there. That's fun. Boy, got a text from 740 saying Circleville, Ohio has the Circleville Pumpkin Show every October. Thank you, Jay from Ohio.
Circleville Pumpkin Show?
I imagine it's just they show off some pumpkins, and jack-o'-lanterns probably the biggest pumpkin gets a prize.
Oh, the blue ribbon.
Yeah, that's the blue, exactly.
We got another text from the 773, okay. Too. My ex is from Whiting, home of Pierogi Fest in late July.
That one I knew about. That's a big deal in Northwest Indiana. And Whiting, a nice town there, and they have a Pierogi Fest. This is one of my favorite ones here from Fruita, Colorado. Described as Colorado to the core, the annual Mike the Headless Chicken Festival.
What?
Mike the Headless Chicken Festival is known for its quirky celebration of one chicken's will to live. Okay, the two-day event offers something for everyone: a 5K run, a car show, wing eating contest.
Now that just seems a little bit cannibalistic.
Wing eating. Yes, it sure does.
Wait a minute. If you're celebrating a chicken, why are you eating the chicken?
Well, I don't know, Roger. That's
John,
a great question.
John, give us these answers.
I know. Sorry. Let me get to the end of the sentence here.
I'm sorry.
Now the whole town comes together for this fun-filled weekend. It's always every June. We just missed it. So I don't know much about Fruita, but apparently it is a ultimate small town experience in Colorado with breathtaking rural landscape. That's Mike, the Headless Chicken Festival in Colorado.
I could stand by the name. I really appreciate that they're bringing the name Mike to light. The Headless Chicken, right. Though, kind of scary.
Mm-hmm. The what is this one in Bridgeville, Delaware?
In Bridgeville, Delaware, we have the World Championship Pumpkin Chuckin.
Okay. Chunkin'. Okay.
Every year, people from around the country converge on a wide open field in Delaware for the World Champion Pumpkin Chunkin'.
I think it's Pumpkin Chunkin'.
I think I've seen videos of this. They come with these huge contraptions to fling a pumpkin as far as they can.
During the event, the pumpkins take flight with every means available. Catapults, air cannons, human power, Roger Badish, and more. as competitors attempt to launch their pumpkin the farthest. It also concludes with a cooking competition, a chili cook-off, and, let me see if I can say this right, Chunkin' pageant.
It's not easy to say. They should just say Pumpkin Chunkin'. Oh, boy, I don't want to say that the wrong way.
there's a lot of out-of-context things that could happen over
Before we get to Roger, downstate Illinois, Mattoon, Illinois. That's not too far down. So that's east central Illinois, down 57 way, a little bit east of Charleston. The Mattoon Bagel Fest got its start as a free bagel breakfast for the entire city. And today it's evolved into a citywide celebration taking place over several days in July. Wouldn't think you need several days for a bagel fest in Mattoon.
You know, if you get a good bagel, you could eat those for weeks on end. Seriously.
I used to work at Panera Bread, and at the end of every night, they let us take home bagels in garbage bags. So I know how long a bagel can go for. Yes.
Every day was Bagel Fest for Michael Heidemann.
And they're multi-purpose, too. Oh, yeah. You don't just have to eat them.
Where are we going with this?
Well, you can fling them like a Frisbee, right? You could toss them. If they're not the kind where the bagel hole is kind of missing because the dough has moved into it. If there's a bagel hole, you can use them to toss onto sticks, like a ring toss.
Not where I saw this going.
This is going down a road. This is going to get us meeting with
And you
Stephanie.
Could take the bagel and you could turn it on its side and roll it down the road.
Sure could,
see?
Roger. Yeah, exactly. Well, we'll just roll you right down to Mattoon to celebrate. Let's go to Alan from North Carolina, listening from North Carolina. Alan, what do you got going on in North Carolina?
Well, I mean, there's a lot of things going on here in North Carolina.
Sure.
But the one I wanted to mention is from where I grew up, or not far from where I grew up in North Arkansas, a town of about 1,000, 1,500, the Yellville, Arkansas Turkey Trot Festival.
the Yell. First of all, the name of the town is Yellville.
Yes.
A lot of quiet people there, or how does that work?
Small town, you know.
Everyone yelling there. A lot of gossipers there, but everyone can hear everyone else. So, yeah, so it's an air turkey. What happens at the festival?
Okay, well, it's pretty much the usual festival parade, arts and crafts, mm-hmm. food. They have the beauty pageant. They also have a specialty pageant where they have a cardboard cartoon turkey.
Okay.
And female contestants stick their legs through the cartoon cardboard turkey.
Okay.
Okay.
And the winner is pronounced Miss Turkey Leg.
So wait, you don't see any of the rest of the woman's body. You just see her legs.
Just the legs, yes. But that's not the topper.
Oh, there's more.
Oh, gosh. I'm so excited.
All right. Go on, Alan.
Okay. The festival concludes with a small single-engine aircraft flying low, like 300 feet max.
Okay.
Buzzes City Hall. I swear to God, this has been going on since the 60s.
Okay.
And they drop a live turkey from the plane onto the ground.
And this is...
That's where Les Nessman got that whole, they're dropping turkey.
Oh, yes. WKRP? Yes. Yeah, okay. So wait. This is a live turkey, wings a-flapping.
Yes. Yes.
This is a dumb question. The turkey doesn't make it, right?
No.
No.
Yeah, because it can't fly.
But does it at least get eaten? I mean, it's going to put to good use. And Roger, I know we're late for news, but this is just, we have to get through
this
one.
That's right. I'm laughing too hard. You wouldn't hear any news.
We got to figure this one out. So what happens? Do you collect the carcass? Is it cooked? What happens to the turkey?
I never asked.
Okay. That's the one secret in Yellville.
Alan,
no one asks what happens to the turkey.
That's a whispered secret in Yellville.
What happens to the turkey?
Yeah, and also to make sure they don't get caught, the pilot of the small plane also always covers up the call sign.
Oh, the tail
on their plane.
The tail number, yeah. Well, yeah, you wouldn't want to get caught with that, no, for sure. I don't know which is better, the turkey drop or the turkey legs, but they're both great. And that's in Yellville, Arkansas. And Alan, when is that held? Is that around Thanksgiving or no?
No, it's in late September, early October.
Yeah, Thanksgiving, that would make too much sense for that festival. All right, Alan.
Yeah,
too much. I don't know if anyone else is going to top that. Thank you so much for listening from North Carolina. We appreciate that. But we certainly give you an opportunity to give it a try. 312-981-7200, talk or text. We're going to be talking to Adam Grabowski, who's performed in many small towns after the news, and I'm sure he's got some stories of something like that. But please, we'll continue this conversation on these wonderful big events in your small towns. We want to hear all about it. But right now, it's 2:35. I'm so sorry, Roger Banish.
No, because I was...
That was something.
I mean, I love it.
That had to go to KRP. We all knew that it was going there somewhere.
I was
going to
close the whole segment with, as God is my witness, I thought turkeys could fly.
2:35, it's news time. WGN 720 2:40 in the morning on this Saturday morning. John Hanson and Michael Heidemann. Michael, you having fun so far?
Oh, I'm having a blast.
Man, I don't know if we're ever going to beat the Yellsville, Arkansas turkey trot or whatever that is. But that was amazing. That is leading the way. If you're just joining us, mm-hmm. we want to hear what is happening in the small towns that you live in. We love Chicago. Lady Gaga played here. We got museums. We got everything. This is in no way intended to make fun of small towns. We love small towns. And I love to hear about the events that are happening either this weekend, September, or maybe we just missed it, that are happening in your small town. So give us a call, 312-981-7200, or text us, 312-981-7200, to let us know what's going on. And the winner will make a commercial for them.
Live on air, just between the two of us. Yeah. It's going to get the word out. And that town will probably be bum-rushed by at least 100,000 people.
Exactly.
So be wary of that when you're bringing them on.
There is, in Fenville, Michigan, a goose festival.
Ooh.
That they use, that our texter from the 630 used to go to every year. And they've got a great winery in Fenville. That's exciting.
Fenville.
Fenville.
You know, when I was growing up in a small town, McHenry,
Yeah, you grew up in a small town. That's right.
Very small. I think all of us, Jess, you and I, but all grew up in very small towns.
I grew up in Downers Grove, which is it's a suburb. That doesn't count.
And don't try to make it sound bigger
than
it is. No,
it's just any of the suburbs of Chicago, the immediate suburbs, are part of the bigger thing. It's not like us. We're not like we're isolated. I when I think of a small town, although Downers does have a good Main Street,
yes.
I'm thinking Main Street and then the town, and you're not connected to other towns. You are your own isolated town.
You're almost like the island of Iceland, almost.
Yes, exactly, exactly.
Okay. That makes a lot of sense. Well,
anyways, McHenry, small town.
McHenry
yes.
is a small town. It has a great connection to Chicago. There's, you know, it takes about an hour and a half away. So mm-hmm. I consider this part of the towns we're looking at. We always had a great thing called Fiesta Days.
Fiesta Days.
And you don't think of McHenry, which is very much a conservative mm-hmm. Small town, being very Spanish related. But we have a great art festival there, and a lot of people come out. We have the Queen of McHenry, I think. We have a 5K as well. It's a really cool thing. But I think the one thing that topped ours was the next town over, Harvard.
Harvard, Illinois.
Have you ever heard
Milk Days?
Harvard Milk Days.
Yes, I read a commercial for that on another station. Yes, Harvard Milk Days, including Cow Chip Lottery. Do you know what Cow Chip Lottery is?
No, but I'm sure you're going to tell me.
Yeah, I didn't know. Roger, do you know what Cow Chip Lottery is?
I know what a cow chip is.
Yeah,
I know
so Cow Chip Lottery okay. is yeah. you. They rope off areas in the grass, like a checkerboard.
Oh, okay.
Or like bingo, and you buy a spot. And wherever the cow drops his chip, whatever spot that chip is, yeah. is the
bingo.
Winner. Yeah, bingo. And I had to read that over and over again, Cow Chip Lottery. I had no idea what it was. And they finally, they came on you and me at WCIU and explained exactly what it was.
Oh, it's more like bing. Oh, jeez. Yeah. What's that smell? But that was always the coolest festival. Mm-hmm. That's so funny that they do that because I remember the Milk Queen would ride on the float.
Mm-hmm. And our own Orion Samuelson.
Yes, for sure.
Often goes there. Yeah, exactly. He's one of the big shots there.
That's a good one. Racine, Wisconsin, they have Fist Fridays, which is the first Friday of each month.
Keep it appropriate.
Maybe that means First Fridays. I don't know. Maybe we forgot an R there.
Well, what was going on in Fist Fridays?
Every April through October, the entire downtown is open. Museum is free. Also, they have a party on the pavement. Okay. So that's in Racine, downtown Racine. I think it's First Fridays because it's the first Friday of every month. We're going to call it Fist Fridays. Enjoy Fist Fridays, Racine.
Typo.
That's cool. Yeah.
it is First Fridays.
And we get an update from the 773 saying an update. Wild turkeys can fly. I didn't. We'll have to double check on that one. 815, Dixon, Illinois, out west, home of what president, Roger Badish? Dixon, Illinois, you got
Yeah, that's right. Ronald Reagan.
Ronald Reagan.
Yeah.
Has the Petunia Festival, a week-long affair every summer.
Say it, don't spray it.
And Byron, Illinois, has an annual, oh boy, Turkey Testicle Festival.
That's, you know what? Spike used to publicize that all the time. Yes, he used to have people from there call in. They used to bring in the turkey testicles every so often to the studios for a little tasting. And, yeah, that was a big deal with Spike.
This is a question I thought I'd never Google before. Do turkeys have testicles? They must. I mean... If that's a whole festival, they must.
There's male and female turkeys.
I just didn't know if the bird parts did that. That's probably a lesson for another day.
You don't know your turkeys.
I don't know my birds. I didn't think that they had those parts.
Maybe you should go to the Yellville Turkey Trot Festival and find that out.
This is breaking news to me. Birds have that sort of organ attached? Isn't there just some rubbing that goes on when birds reproduce?
What?
Cloying?
Rubbing?
Like, yes. It's just a rubbing motion.
I don't think so.
I think so.
All right. Well, you know what?
We're going to have to Google this during this.
I'm usually Matt's librarian.
Yeah, well, you...
I usually do the research for Matt. Mm-hmm. So we will... Yeah. These are turkeys, right? Yeah. We're specifically, the bird will be a turkey, right?
Mm-hmm. By the way, it looks like, according to the internet, male turkeys have testicles located within the body, just above the kidneys. Okay, that makes a little bit more sense.
So there you go.
Roger, we're going to take a quick break.
More turkey talk?
More turkey talk, if you'd like to stick around for it. 720 WGN.
How you doing, man?
I'm good.
All right, what's your name?
Adam Grabowski.
And you're going to do what?
Stand up.
Can I start by saying I love Disney movies? Okay, I just don't know how we get away with showing them to children. Do you guys remember The Little Mermaid? The one where Ariel trades her voice for legs and the prince finds her naked on a beach and she can't talk and he falls in love with her? Is that how love works? Pretty sure he doesn't know anything about her. All he knows is she's got whoozits and what's its galore. He wants thingamabobs and she's got 20, okay?
Okay, so before we get to our guest who we just heard there, I got to tell you the story, Michael. Mm-hmm. It was really quick. 8 or 9 years ago, I'm in Champaign, Illinois. I'm at the Canopy Club. I lived in Champaign at the time, and I was just trying this thing out called stand-up comedy, and I was pretty bad at it. And many of us that evening were just trying. We were amateurs. And then there was one gentleman who was really quite good. And I was like, man, this kid is going places, kid. He was probably about the same age as I am. And turns out his name was Adam Grabowski. He is hilarious. He makes the tours now. He's been on America's Got Talent. And Adam, you're joining us now here on WGN. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, hi.
I don't know if you remember that, Adam, at all, but that was...
No, I do. I know what the Canopy Club is, and I remember...
Yes, it's incredible, and you know it's been so fun because we became kind of Facebook friends after that night, and I've just followed you around, and Jessica booked you, and I had no idea it was going to be you, and when she told me it was Adam Grabowski, I was like, oh my God, that's wonderful.
That's so funny. You did not sound so radio back then.
My voice has dropped quite substantially in the last...
I know, your voice definitely did on WGN Radio. Yo, I need to share something with you.
Go ahead.
I thought, because, you know, all right, what time is it by you? It's 2:40, 2:45.
2:51. You've made it big here.
2:51. I didn't look. yes, I know. I made it big. But I had a show in New York City tonight in the Bronx at the College of Mount St. Vincent. And when I was booked for you guys, they said it will be Saturday at 3:30 in the morning Eastern time. So I go, cool, I have a show Saturday night in Poughkeepsie, New York. I will set an alarm for Saturday. I will get up and make sure that I'm awake then. And then I get a missed call because Saturday to you was Friday night turning to Saturday.
Adam, that's,
so I'm out in New York City. I'm in front of the Hamilton Theater. You know where Hamilton plays in New York City?
Mm-hmm.
I'm on Broadway right now because I had a show out here, and I decided to stay out with my friend. And, yeah, so I'm right next to Times Square. I figure that's very suitable for this sort of interaction right now. But, like, I was talking to two girls and my friend, Marcus, and it just ran out. But, yeah.
Yeah, well, Adam, I got to say, though, that is not – you would think that us people that do these overnight shifts would be used to that, but we do that sort of stuff all the time. We mess up the Friday, the Saturday, Saturday, the Sunday. Mm-hmm. You're not alone. Hey, Adam, earlier today we've been talking about kind of like big things that happen in small towns, and you performed – obviously you're performing in New York. You've done so many great things on giant college campuses, that sort of stuff. But you've probably been through your
–
yeah, you've probably been through your fair share – of small towns. Is there like one small town or one venue that you can remember?
The fact that you were able to catch me when I was in a major city is rare. I would say 5% of my shows are in a city people know. Like, talk to me about Oneonta or Delhi or like all these different small towns in the middle of nowhere and I'd be able to help you out. I just had one in Longmeadow, Massachusetts. Do you know where that is? No one does.
No idea.
Longmeadow.
I barely know where Massachusetts is.
Yeah. I did Athens, Georgia, but that's UGA.
Yeah.
So the colleges are in the middle of nowhere. You know, no one knows Champaign, Illinois, except for University of Illinois. That's the only way that I know it.
Right.
So a lot of them stand out because here's the thing. Let me explain something to you, all right? When you're in Los Angeles, I live in Los Angeles now. I'm in Hollywood. When you're in Hollywood, you go out, and you could go view your favorite podcast recording with 12 people there. You know why? Because nobody cares. Everyone's an entertainer. And, like I honestly live next to rich YouTubers. Like, and that's not my apartment complex. Mine's more normal folk. But that's really what it's like out there.
Do you have a favorite?
Small towns, I don't like it. I like being in Los Angeles for the weather, but I don't like the fact that like everyone is the hottest person ever. So, like I went to my roommate's acting class, and he talked about the hot girl in class, and I was like, which one? Also, not the guys. Like, everyone's the hottest person you've ever seen. So I live in small towns. Like, at the end of September, I will be in Gillette, Wyoming, Butte, Montana, Sheridan, Wyoming. I'll be in Lewiston, Idaho. You know, I like going to the places where people are real. There's a lot of places that stand out. I really like Minot, North Dakota. That's a weird thing to say.
Why not Minot?
Akron, Ohio. Why not Minot? They're the Beavers there, so that's always funny.
Mm-hmm. But that always works in a college audience, yeah.
It's just in general. How are you not going to... It's Why Not and Minot, and they're the Beavers. There used to be an advertisement kind of saying, like, that the Beavers are really good about, like, their jobs, right? Mm-hmm. So they would have this ad saying, put a beaver on it. Like, put a graduate of that university who is a beaver on it.
Right.
But, like, a slogan, put a beaver on it, just like, it sounds like every frat house ever.
Doesn't,
like, how do we solve this? Put a beaver on it. Like, I don't...
Doesn't really translate to what you want to do. Adam, hey, what's going on? This is Michael. I'm looking at your website right now, adamgrabowski.com, spelt the way
how do you spell that? Is it spelled like Adam, grab, ow, why'd you grab me, and then ski.com? That's great.
almost to a T, yeah. Adam, grab, ow, grabowski.com. It says that you perform...
Hold on, the traffic has flooded me.
Actually, the site just crashed, and now I can't read what I was going to say. You performed in 45 states, over 500 colleges.
Oh, it should be updated. 47 states, 600 colleges.
Wow. What are the three you haven't been to? Is it Alaska, Hawaii? All right, Alaska, Hawaii.
I have done one of those. Which one do you think I have not done?
I don't think you've done Alaska.
I don't think you've done Hawaii.
Yes. I've not done Alaska. Oh. No, I did Hawaii.
Okay, so you haven't done Alaska. My other guess...
By the way, Hawaii is even harder to get because Alaska, they need comedy because they have days that are like 22 hours of darkness. Why? What do you need comedy for?
Do
you
people even laugh in a tropical island?
I don't
think
so.
Have everything already made.
No, they did because, like, everything's happy. And then Moana shows up and everyone just smiles. The rock's there and everyone just sings how far they'll go. It's wonderful.
Okay, so you haven't done Alaska. I'm going to guess that you have not done Montana.
No, I've done that.
Oh.
I just told you I had a show coming up in Butte, Montana.
I wasn't listening.
That's all right, fine.
Arkansas?
Neither am I. I'm in Times Square. No, I've done Arkansas. Think of the longest state name.
Ooh. Massachusetts?
Well, he did Massachusetts. Oh, Connecticut?
Right. Just longer than Massachusetts.
Is it Connecticut?
Is it Grabowski?
It's the fun one to say.
I don't know.
Mississippi?
What's the... Yeah, M-I-S-S-I-S-I-S-I-S. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I have not done Mississippi because I think they only have 4 schools there total. And then, that's not a joke. Look it up. And then New Mexico. New Mexico. Yeah, I don't know the population of New Mexico. I feel like there's a lot of open space there.
There's a lot of... They got Albuquerque. I mean, why not?
Yeah, there's Albuquerque, but other than that, like, there's University of New Mexico, but have you... Or New Mexico State, but have you heard of any universities besides that?
No, that's
Mm-mm.
I think Embry-Riddle, but...
What's the smallest, like, venue? Like, what's the most... I don't want to say Podunk, because I don't want to make fun...
Listen, here's how it works. I show up, and I do try to help with the advertisement of the show. Sometimes there's 1,200 people. Mm-hmm. Sometimes there's 12. So it really does... It has to do with the population of the university or the college, the advertisement, the day of the week it is. Like, I did a show at a college in Detroit, Kettering. It's right next to Detroit's in Flint. And it was Game 7 of the Detroit Red Wings playoffs.
Uh-oh.
So, like, you're not going to get a – like, but we booked this a year in advance. So,
right.
Like, we don't know. And then, you know
– You never know if the Red Wings are going to be good at hockey. I mean, what?
Yeah, yeah, and it's Game 7, and it's Detroit, so they're just going to go, like, nuts. That's all they're going to care about.
Mm-hmm.
But so we held off till the end of the game to do the show, but still, you know, you got to deal with all those factors.
Hey, Anna, before we let you go, enjoy the rest of your evening with your friends, as you should. Later on in the show, we're actually talking to this girl who actually dropped out of high school because she was bullied so much. It's a terrible story, but she turned it around. She actually does, like, these comic books now, and that helps out other kids. We were reading about the Say It Anyway campaign, which I think is really cool. You want to tell our listeners about it?
Yeah. Okay, listeners, here's the thing. So I continue to do comedy. I've been doing it. I've been doing it since... I graduated back in December 2008, so that's been 10 years. I've been full-time for 8. I've lived out of too many hotels to keep doing this without purpose. Mm-hmm. So what I talk about is my own depression and anxiety, and I bring that up because I want people to understand that these things are a part of being human, and we do this thing where we make ourselves feel bad for feeling bad. So you're already feeling away, right? You're already feeling upset or anxious or nervous or depressed or sad or whatever it is, and then you beat yourself up over it, which is not productive. And what I've learned from Trav, there are no problems because all we do is post the happy stuff. Like, everybody looks at 2 in the morning and goes, why is everyone happy with me? If you checked your own Instagram, it's just you smiling. Like, even though you're depressed, it's just you smiling. So what I try to get people to do is to actually talk about what it is that they're experiencing. Not post the fake things, but to just talk to their friends, their family, and other people, and to say it anyway. Because even right now, sharing what I shared to you guys probably made me more human to you when we think it will actually get us rejected as people, but it doesn't.
That's awesome,
man. It humanizes you, and it makes people do that. And I've had a couple of friends try to commit suicide, and I talk to them on a very regular basis, and it's an ongoing process because we are communal animals, and we always want to make sure that we have value to the entirety of the species, which is humans. And because of the influence of social media, we really feel like we cannot contribute because we're not as good. We don't have as many likes. Not everybody matters. And there's so many freaking humans that don't feel like we're a community. Like, I'm in New York City right now, and I could probably be more alone than if I was in these tiny, tiny, tiny towns in the middle of nowhere, because there's accountability there. Whereas in here, you see somebody, like, I'm the person that comes over like, oh, shoot, should we call someone for this? Or like, wait, what are those two people doing? I'm the one looking after that, but it doesn't happen in large cities because there's so many people. So all my point is that don't beat yourself up for being human. You're not the only one that's going through what you've gone through, because everyone, all the emotions have been experienced by other people, so it's not just you. And then please, please, please talk about what it is. So if anybody's listening and you want to send me something private that you can't tell your family or friends or anything, send it to my Instagram or my Snapchat, which is at Adam Grabowski.
That's awesome.
Yeah, just try to be like a human to one another, and that's all that really matters, because you can't take anything with you, and all you can do is try to be healthy and positive towards one another.
It's hashtag say it anyway, Adam Grabowski, adamgrabowski.com, and on Instagram, on Snapchat, all that stuff.
Doing that?
Yeah,
did
you
breathe during that?
Like once. That was like one short breath. But Adam,
hey, wonder what I'm passionate about.
Right. You could just pass out on Times Square. Someone will come to aid you, I'm sure. There's someone else around.
No, they won't. You don't understand.
They will just walk right over you.
Right. No, I just meant that if you actually pass out on the street.
They literally just throw the garbage to the corner and then like get picked up.
It's already on the corner, Adam. They just kind of like shuffle them.
What you do, you take your garbage bags and throw them onto the street.
It makes no sense.
The system in place.
Yeah.
Oh, Chicago's so much better.
All right, Adam. We got to get to news, man. I really appreciate it, though. Yeah. Thanks so much for joining us, and best of luck with everything, okay?
Yeah, man, whenever I can, and whenever I'm prepared.
That's good. Thanks so much for joining us. Adam Grabowski, you can go to adamgrabowski.com. All right. Roger, this is a theme for the night. I'm sorry. We're a little late for news. This is Chicago's
Hey, you're keeping with the Bubala program.
But Heidemann is getting, as a producer, Heidemann, the executive
producer. I know, he must
producer,
be twitching in the seat over there like crazy.
He's been sweating since I saw it hit 301.
This is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago, WGNRadio.com. If you're an Amazon Echo user, just say play WGN Radio on TuneIn. It's 303. Here's Roger. I really want to sing along to this. Are we allowed to do that?
Yes. Please do.
Hey, I just met you, and this is crazy, but here's my number, so call me maybe. Michael, we saw this together. We saw Carly Rae together.
I cannot believe you just sang this
Of course
song.
I did. I could sing the whole darn thing if I wanted to, but we got to get on with the show, right?
We did see Carly Rae
together. That was a real
together.
Bondy moment between the two of us and my roommate, Dana.
Yes, and Dana
Her name's
was
Dana.
There. Yes, Dana mm-hmm. was there as well. I think that, you know, when you're trying to create a friendship, yep. I think going to a concert, there's nothing better that you can do to have a true bonding experience.
I think it's the worst thing you can do. And you know how apprehensive I was to going to that concert.
I really didn't want to go.
I only went because we got VIP tickets.
Yes.
And we were promised that there'd be space around us.
Yeah.
Because I did not want to be around too many people. And that's not to sound hoity-toity Johns on the radio. I just don't – I get a little anxious sometimes with a ton of people.
I feel
so we were on like a balcony, and then I found out there was mac and cheese where we were too mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. free booze. So I was like, all right, okay, I'll go to this concert.
It was one of the greatest concerts of the year.
It was a blast. Mm-hmm. Hey, by the way, Michael.
Yes.
I just realized something. So I was a little apprehensive because I was Googling here on this work computer, do turkeys have testicles? And then I was also Googling, do birds have, I can say the word, right?
Yeah.
It's a male organ. Because I was really confused for a moment whether male, I didn't think birds had the male sex organ. And I really didn't think they did. So I Googled it. And I was really concerned because I was like, man, I'm leaving quite a Google history on this computer. And then I realized, Michael, that my login didn't work and it's on your login.
You're right. I was like, where is this conversation going? Yes.
So you, according to WGN Radio, you're looking up what a cloaca is. So there you go.
Quite the bread trail of awkward yes. conversations for the
See, what you
months.
Don't know, John, yeah, is right that Michael's like, yeah, so?
Yeah, right. He's an executive
worse.
Producer.
It's just on a different computer. What do you want?
I'm sure Patty's had him look up worse stuff than that.
Yeah, but
don't check the images.
now it's going into, let's do a slight side of... bestiality. So I guess,
okay.
I guess now it's not.
312-981-7200. The reason why we got on that is because we heard about the turkey. Was it Turkey Trot Festival?
The Turkey Trot Festival in Yellville.
Which
yes.
we had a follow up from our Alan in Yellville on the text line. I'm trying to find it right now. He wanted to let us know that, by the way, the Yellville one was the best. We're talking about big festivals in small towns, and there's been some really unique ones. 312-981-7200. Let us know about yours. But Yellville, Arkansas, where Alan grew up, mm-hmm. had this festival where there would be a cardboard turkey with holes in it, knuckles, and women would stick their legs in the holes. You wouldn't see the women.
Yeah.
And it would be like, who's got the best turkey legs?
Yeah, you see this at the every single county fair.
Wait, you do?
Well, you know that you stick your head through.
Oh, head through,
lady.
But not legs through.
I've never seen legs.
Right. It's just to judge the legs. That was not the worst of it. It was then a real-life WKRP episode. Am I saying it's WKRP, right?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Cincinnati. All right. And where they fly a plane, they buzz City Hall and drop a live turkey from 300 feet down. And so, by the way, Alan followed up saying that Yellville, Arkansas, gets its name because rural area, it's in a valley of small mountains, so neighbors had to yell across neighbors. Okay. That's interesting.
And he refers to yelling as the best form of communication, too.
Well, it truly is.
Yeah.
Depew, Illinois. We got a text from 815.
Depew.
It's a population of about 1,000. I don't know if it's Depew or Depew. I think it's Depew. Last weekend in July, for 37 consecutive years, it's the U.S. Title Series Pro Outboard Championship Boat Races on beautiful Lake Depew. The attendance is around 15,000 to 20,000. That is huge.
Wow.
For a smaller town with a lake on it, that's a lot of people for outboard boat racing.
So it nearly boosts up its, in quadruples its population in just that 3-day weekend.
Yeah, for sure. That's awesome.
This is why I love these small town festivals mm-hmm. because it can turn. I mean, look at what happened with the eclipse. That small town turned from a 15,000 population
right.
city to
hey,
over.
Carbondale's not such a small town. Come on.
Were you exactly. referring to Carbondale, Michael, or no?
I was referring to...
The moment you said it, I knew Roger was going to check.
I was going to say the South Carolina town.
The South Carolina
oh,
town, yeah.
Yes.
No, Carbondale's a more metropolitan area. I wouldn't consider...
Yeah.
Because
than,
half of it's from Chicago.
Yeah,
so.
For sure.
And they have more than one pizza place, too, so I think that's...
815 says it's Corn Fest weekend in DeKalb. This
Ooh.
Weekend, free sweet corn, great music, and lots more. So it's like in Urbana. That's
oh,
a sweet corn
that's
festival.
This weekend?
Yep, that's this weekend in DeKalb, but it's also in Urbana.
Corn.
I actually walked by the Sweet Corn Festival in Urbana just a couple hours ago.
What is it like?
It was hopping. It's fine. It's a couple roads down downtown Urbana. They got bands there. I said Smash Mouth played there last year. Mm-hmm. And they obviously sell corn. A lot of the sweet corn, though, what it bugs me about it is it's not harvested right outside of Urbana. Some of it's brought in from Indiana and other places. They haven't harvested a lot of the Urbana corn yet, so they're not quite ready for that
John's
yet. I know way
angry,
too much
way,
about Urbana
corn.
The Scarecrow Festival is in St. Charles, so are you looking to start a new family tradition? Check out Scarecrow Fest in St. Charles.
No, thank you.
More than 100 handcrafted scarecrows
scary.
On display. None of them have any brains. They span all different sizes and themes. Admire them all, and don't forget to vote for your favorite.
It's October 6th. I could while away the hours.
Yeah. We Talked about pierogi. Oh, this is a good one. In Wabasha, Minnesota.
That's easy for you to say.
Grumpy Old Men Festival.
Oh, that's me!
I was just going to say, Roger going up there. Well, Roger, it's in February.
That's okay.
The setting of the classic film Grumpy Old Men, Wabasha or Wabasha, celebrates its Hollywood fame by holding the Grumpy Old Men Festival each year. The main event is the Grumpy Plunge. Which is what Roger's name was in college.
Thank you
it's
very
a
much.
Chilly dive into the Mississippi River that raises money for local businesses. If you're not prepared for a frigid dip, that was what your wife was named in college. Mm-hmm. Play a few hours frigid of dip. Bingo or hit the ice bar. Grumpy old man or not, all are invited. Would you jump in the Mississippi in February?
I would not.
Because you're grumpy. Exactly.
I'm grumpy. I'll stand there and shake my stick at it.
Well, I don't... Make sure it's blurred out if it's on TV.
Same thing he does at Bagelfest, too.
Oh, darn Bagel. Get off my lawn.
312-981-7200. Let us know about the biggest thing happening in your small town. The further away from Chicago, the better. We love our small towns that are near the city, out in the outlying suburbs, maybe down in downstate or western parts of the state. But we know at this time of the night or morning, we've got listeners all over the country who'd love to hear about what's happening in your small town. Raleigh, North Carolina, the Bug Fest. Don't be alarmed by the name of the event. It's hosted by the North Carolina Museum of Natural Sciences. Bug Fest offers an opportunity for visitors to explore the world of bugs. Okay, that sounds pretty fun. From eating dishes that feature bugs as the main ingredient to plenty of exhibits. Maybe you'll get over your fear of creepy crawlies that you've always had. That sounds like fun. I go to Bug Fest.
I don't like bugs very much. I don't think I'd have a lot of fun there, to be honest.
No. Based on the fact that you don't like bugs? No, I think that's a pretty safe assumption. There's a duct tape festival in Avon, Ohio.
Now we're talking.
There you go.
Pays homage to the perpetually handy tape. Was that a Tim Taylor reference?
Very weak one.
Sure yeah. was. Highlighting its many uses of duct tape in everyday life. From a colorful duct tape-themed fashion show to an impressive parade of duct taped-colored floats.
And you know what they always say? If you can't fix it...
Duct tape it.
Duck it.
Duck it. Oh. Oh, yes. You old grumpy plunge, you. We got to take a quick commercial break. Give us your small town festivals, and then Mike's going to have a quiz for us coming
yes.
up after the break here on 720 WGN. Jessica, did you pick this because I'm on a show called The Jam on WCIU?
No, today's my first time actually hearing this song.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. I heard it today earlier.
Is it your jam now?
It is my jam now.
Oh, I love it. 312-981-7200, John Hanson and Michael Heideman. We're filling in for Matt Bubala. Normally, I fill in with Esmeralda Leon.
Thank you so much.
And normally, you fill in with Kevin on Sound Sessions. We are both cheating on our radio spouses. And before that moment that we just had right there,
that was nice.
You and I were just like out for dinner.
Yeah.
Right? We just sealed the deal by going Matt Bubala because that's Esmeralda's a nice thing.
I know, and it's kind of an honor to say it. It's almost like getting an Oscar.
Right. Well, that's, yeah, we've definitely now crossed a line, and Roger needs to tell Mommy and Daddy about it.
Oh, I'm so glad he's not up there right now. He would totally call Esmeralda at the moment.
312-981-7200. We've been talking about small town, or big festivals in small towns. We've got a few other texts that are coming and a couple other calls, too. The Wisconsin Bat Festival. Coming to Mitchell Park Domes this weekend in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. The
wow.
Wisconsin Bat Festival. There's also a bat festival in Austin, Texas, it says here.
Oh, yeah. In Austin, they're known for their bats. I didn't know that was a big thing in Milwaukee, though.
Yeah, apparently.
Yeah,
look
bat
at
festival.
That. That's exciting. Bat festival. Very good.
I'm looking up bug. You know, it's so funny. I'm looking up all these small town gatherings, and mm-hmm. I'm very, very intrigued by all of them. But my search history and all these tabs that I have up are so funny because it's how do birds mate? Cedar City, Utah, Cowboy Dirt Dance,
oh, yes.
The Dutch Oven Cook-Off, and Paul Farvar's Facebook page, who is a contributor here on I'm Pretty Late.
Yeah, you're going to get in some trouble for this. The Great Texas Mosquito Festival in Clute, Texas.
Ooh.
The 25-foot inflatable mosquito, Willie Manchu, has been hovering over the Great Texas Mosquito Festival every year since 1981. During the day, bring the kids along to check out Noah's Ark Petting Zoo. And once the sun goes down, let loose with an evening of dancing. The executive SWAT team is
love
there
that.
All weekend to make sure everything runs smoothly. Head to Clute, Texas to see what all the Buzz is about. That's the Great Texas Mosquito Festival in Clute. Let's go to the phone lines. We have James, another one from Wisconsin. Wisconsin probably has a lot of these. James, where are you at?
Yeah, Appleton, Wisconsin.
Oh, wonderful.
But nearby in a little town called Winneconne, that's just a little bit west of Oshkosh, where the EAA fly-in is, they have sovereign state days because in 1967, the state of Wisconsin left the town of Winneconne off the map. And so they threatened to secede from the state and put toll gates around the town and have their own
sovereign nation, there. Like to be their own country.
Right. Not so funny probably to people in Illinois, because there are probably people that would like to do that now.
You know? Certainly away from Illinois, certainly from the state government. That's wonderful. What's the name of the town again?
It's Winneconne. It means, it's an Indian word. It means a place of the skulls. I guess there was a big battle there. A couple of friends of mine actually are writing a musical about this, and at Sovereign State Days, which was just a couple of weeks ago, they did some songs from it, and they got to meet the one surviving person that was on the committee. She's about 93 years old, and she's portrayed in the musical, so it was really fun for them to meet her.
That is really cool. So what happens at Sovereign State Days? What are some of the festivities?
You know, I would have to have gone to it.
You know a lot about it for having not gone to Sovereign State Days.
He's still bitter that they tried to succeed.
Mostly because of my friends who are writing the show, right?
Hey, by the way, James, I got to say, just last month I was in Waupaca, Wisconsin.
Well, it's not very far away. Yeah, it's right down Highway 49, I think.
Well, wonderful, because I had never been to – I've been to all other parts of Wisconsin. I've been to Appleton, in fact. I had never been to Waupaca, the chain of lakes. We went there, rented a house there, the whole family. It was wonderful. The lakes were great. And next year we'll schedule it around Sovereign State Days. Okay, James?
Yeah, that would be fun. It's a great place.
Thank you so much for the phone call.
Have a good night.
You too. 312-981-7200. Let us know about the big events happening in your small town.
We actually got another text here from the 630. The Apple and Pork Festival in Clinton, Illinois is in September.
Okay.
It's coming up too.
That's an interesting combination.
Yeah. Apple and pork.
It's a balanced diet. Michelle Obama would be so proud of that festival to get some fruits and some protein in that. You know, she was all about that.
You know, call in anytime, 312-981-7200. We'd love to hear a little bit more about these festivals. The texts are fantastic, but I have so many questions now about the Apple and Pork Festival.
I wonder if it represents, you know, when you have a hog on and you spin the hog over the fire. Is that what happens with the apple
with
in the
apple
mouth?
In
That's
the
what
mouth.
I'm thinking. So you eat the hog, and then you all split the apple. Roger, I got to ask you, did you grow up in Evanston? Am I getting this right? Where did you grow up?
Yeah, I was born in Chicago, lived here for about 4 years, then moved to Evanston, lived there the majority, well, not really, about half my life.
Because
I've lived back in Chicago the other half.
Yeah, so you're a big-town guy, too. So I mean, I'm sure you've been to small-town festivals. You've done everything in this world.
Oh, we were in... oh, gosh. When I was working in radio in Vegas, we went to, I believe it's Jackass, Arizona.
Did not expect that one and, coming
I think that was the town. And
wait
I actually had a...
Wait, I'm
I had
it.
The hat from there. And
you should wear that around Chicago.
It actually... Well, I got to find it now. It's somewhere in my closet.
I hope it doesn't even have the word Arizona on it. I just hope it has the name of the town and you just walk around with that.
Oh, it's got a picture of, I remember it's got a picture of a borough.
I hope so.
And the DJ for whom I was the morning news anchor, in fact, I was the entire news department, let's be honest about it.
You really are a jackass.
Thank you. He and I were invited by the town to be in their parade.
Really?
Which, it's one of those towns where almost the welcome to and thanks for visiting sign are on the same post.
So you were the ringmaster. What do they call that? The grand marshal of the Jackass Parade?
We were the grand marshals of the Jackass Parade.
Roger, if that's not on your LinkedIn profile, I don't know what else should be.
I'm sorry, but it slipped my mind when I was filling it out.
That needs to be on your business card right next to Mike's executive producer. Yes. Hey, we got another call in here. This is Bob. Bob, you're calling from Minocqua, Wisconsin?
Minocqua?
No, I'm calling from Gurnee.
Okay.
I go up there. I believe in September they have in Minocqua a big deal called Beef-O-Rama.
Okay, I think I can guess what it's about.
Yeah, you can guess what it's about. And they had the same idea with the cow chip. I think it's either cows or they have goats in a pen, and then it's the goat thing. They also do it up there with chicken. It's called chicken, you know what, bingo.
Oh.
And they got the chicken in a cage, and it's lined with a board, and you buy squares, and it's called chicken, well...
Yeah.
Bingo, right?
When we started talking about this, we really wanted to get the point across that we were not making fun of small towns. We love small towns, and I think this stuff is so fun.
Mm-hmm.
But man, oh man, there's nothing more small town than betting on where an animal's going to crap. Like, really, that is...
rabbits, you can do it with rabbits. I mean, you name it, they got it.
Yeah.
They got squares on a board.
As long as they're not doing it with humans, I'm fine with that. But I gotta say, Bob, I'm such a degenerate gambler that if you get me anywhere near that lottery board, I'm gonna be placing bets. I got side bets over here. Give me the odds on this chicken. Give me the odds on this crap right here.
John's at the ATM. They're just like people around him. They're like, no, John, please. You already took it out $100,000. Yes. We gotta pull you back here.
Oh, that's so great.
Well, beef-o-rama is like every way you could think about, you know, cooking beef, and then there's like a flea market. And there's bands playing, there's a lot of drinking, and it's like a street dance thing.
Yeah.
And then guys are still selling fishing lures, and you name it, they got it. It's just a nice thing, and it's in Minocqua, and Minocqua's gorgeous. So
Minocqua is awesome.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Michael.
Bob, I was wondering, like, when you're in the heart of this festival, do they have, like, the king and queen? I always find that the most interesting. Do they have, like, a person that you're pointing to or voting
for? Who's queen beef?
Okay.
Queen beef.
Don't say that too quickly, by the way.
Okay. So I will tell you this. Usually we go in the late afternoon when it's sort of settled down and it's sort of thinned out a little bit.
Oh, because it's packed that you got to wait for the crowds to disperse from Beef-O-Rama.
You got to thin the beef before it really happens.
We are not getting the Beef-O-Rama early. It's like a late afternoon. So,
wait till it's a sirloin. Don't go when it's a filet.
Right. I mean, we're going there for like the grizzle. Okay?
Yeah, you got to cut the fat off the beef first before we can really get down to party.
Right. We're just there for the marrow, for the bone. Because usually we're really hungover and we decide, oh, let's go to Beef-O-Rama, right?
Right.
So we make the drive from St. Germain.
Oh, yeah.
Minocqua. And it's Beef-O-Rama.
So, you know, I don't know if you heard, Bob, I'd never been to Waupaca, but Minocqua, St. Germain, Hayward, Tomahawk, that's where we'd go on vacation like three times a summer, man. That is right where I know that area very, very well.
Well, my buddy's got a gorgeous house up on Big St. Germain Lake.
Can we come?
Right by Big, sure, why not?
All right, cool.
And, it's really not a festival, but it's sort of weird. I've been to a bar up in Clam Lake, Wisconsin. And they have a white line on the barroom floor, and women can't cross the line to the bar. They have to stand the other side of the line by the tables. They can't come up to the bar.
Wow.
Which I think is rather interesting.
I've been to some bars like that on the north side of Chicago. It's not really appropriate. Hey, Bob, thank you so much for the phone call. And by the way, next time you call in, and we hope you do again, tell Jessica how to spell Minocqua, because she wrote it on the screen here, and it's about the funniest spelling I've ever seen. She's got Minocqua.
Is there a six in there, too?
Where's the pound sign? I don't mean to call you out, Jessica, but we knew it was Minocqua. And Bob, hey, thanks for the call. We really appreciate it.
All right, buddy. Take care.
Big things happening in small towns. We're a little bit late to news, and this time it's Michael Heidemann's fault. So we're going to go up to the newsroom. And actually, Roger, you've been working hard this night. I mean, I know you've been chatting with us, but man, what a busy news night. And we're joking around a bunch, and that's fun. That's what we love to do. But
I appreciate you letting me be part of it.
No, but our thoughts, man, what's going on down in South Texas? This is some serious stuff out there. So you got that and more for us coming up right now here. 720 WGN News Time, it's Roger Badish.
In my little town, I grew up believing God keeps his eye on us all.
Well, Simon and Garfunkel right there, Roger.
Yes, sir.
Before we put a nice little bow on this segment, we're talking about big things that happen in small towns. We've had a lot of fun ones. We had a couple other texts, Michael, but also the one I saw here on this list that Jessica printed out includes in Marlington, West Virginia. It's the Roadkill Cook-Off.
Yeehaw!
Over the years, Marlington's residents have really taken to celebrating their region's roots. Well, how do they do it, you might ask? With an annual Roadkill Cook-Off. This uniquely West Virginian festival features the likes of squirrel gravy.
Yum.
Bear chili. How many bears? That'd have to be a truck to get a bear.
I feel like you could. How many like bowls of chili can a bear like really be chopped
depends
into?
Depends on the size of a bear.
Just Google all these questions. It's all on Mike's search history today. Yeah, like my Mazda ain't gonna knock down a bear. That's gonna be coming from a truck.
That'll be a Mazda stew then,
right? Yeah. Deer sausage, which is what they called me in college.
Deer
and
sausage?
More on the way, on the menu. Not feeling adventurous? We'll stick to exploring the craft show, where crafters from all over the state showcase their wares. I wonder if it's roadkill crafts as well. It doesn't say.
Oh, sure.
Roadkill menu items, that makes
little
sense.
Deer wallet?
Yeah, maybe, maybe like a squash squirrel rug.
There you go. Yeah.
So many more.
A raccoon ottoman? I don't even care.
Eyeball of newt to put in your marble
yeah.
game?
Yeah.
A bear hairbrush? You know, the bristles?
You know what the best bear part brush. About this, Roger, Michael, and Jessica is? It's coming up September 29th to the 30th. We haven't missed it.
Oh,
let's do a
God.
Live broadcast.
Yeah, it's 2 days after Jessica's birthday. What better way to celebrate than heading up to the roadkill cook-off?
I'm going
to
get you that squirrel, squash squirrel birthday cake. I know you love it so much.
Scrapbooking on a...
You know me so well, Michael.
Horse carcass or something. Well, I guess horse would be. That's sad.
Yeah, why'd you need to take it down? Well, I mean,
horses could be roadkill, too. I hate to break everyone's hearts about that. I've eaten horse before. Is that bad to say?
You monster.
Yeah.
Why, I've always wondered why we have such aversion to some animals we can eat, some animals we can't. Why?
I think it has to do with the naming. You never name a squirrel, but you would often name like a horse or a dog or a
cat. I'll eat Pretty Princess if she tastes good. Like I have no problem.
Names?
Yeah.
Oh, that's yeah.
Why do we care about eating horse? I guess dogs make sense because we've domesticated them. Like that's
horses
gross.
Talk to us.
Well, they talk to our spirits or something like that, but whatever.
Wait.
If it's tasty, I'll eat it. It was in Spain. Apparently, they eat horse in Spain.
Hmm. Ew. What does it taste like? It must be rough.
It was rough. It was a little tougher than I thought it would be.
Yeah.
I don't know how tough I thought it would be, but it was.
I'm saying name.
I've had rattlesnake.
Ooh.
That was good. Tastes like chicken.
Tastes like chicken.
What's the weirdest thing you've ever eaten? Have you ever had any strange meats?
I've eaten all of the insects, you know, that they've made into chocolates. The crickets, mm-hmm. the spiders, the scorpions. Mm-hmm.
That's a lot. That's adventurous.
That was just breakfast. So, but besides that, I've had a bison burger. I remember I was in Vegas one time, and they were really into the ostrich burger. I've yet to have
I've had
that.
Those. They're so good. Ostrich burgers are so good. They're so healthy for you. So low fat, but they still have kind of it's a red meat, which is strange from a bird, but it is very, very good.
That sounds kind of tasty.
I had them at Fuddruckers. They had ostrich burgers at Fuddruckers.
Really?
Wait, I'm thinking of bison burgers, but I've had an ostrich burger. No, wait, I think they had them at Fuddruckers.
Okay.
Have you Anyways.
Ever horse hot dog? Roger, what's your weirdest food that you've ever eaten?
Anything my wife cooks.
Zing zong.
Because she eats healthy foods.
Uh-huh.
And yeah. I don't.
By the way, 312-981-7200, we've been talking about the big things happening in small towns. I think we got like the Wisconsin Department of Tourism director texting in. Because this person is listing every single thing that's happening in Wisconsin besides Beef-O-Rama. And we appreciate the text. We got the Bat Festival. They also want to let us know about the Spinning Top Summer Tour, which is in Burlington, Wisconsin. At the Spinning Top Museum.
Okay.
Fun for all. See and play with the fascinating tops and toys at one of Wisconsin's most unusual festivals. $15 per person, cash preferred.
They're nice. They don't want to leave a paper trail.
Do they have the human spinning tops? That's what I want to know.
What is a human spinning top?
Well, it's like you stand with your arms wrapped around yourself. You close your eyes, and somebody spins you around, and you just keep spinning when they let go, and then bump into things.
Perhaps they do. The 262 should text us and let us know, because they let us know everything that's happening in Wisconsin.
I find it confusing and a little bit intriguing that they have a full museum for the tops.
That is a lot. There's also a bobblehead museum in Wisconsin. I think we play those commercials on our station here. I've heard those before.
Wait, we play a bobblehead commercial?
It might be on a competitor station. I shouldn't
How
have said
dare
that.
You?
920, Kathy lets us know about these apple and pork recipes out there we were talking about. Delicious one is onions and apple slices over pork chops, shake on poultry seasoning, then bacon broth. That sounds wonderful, Kathy. Hey, guess what, guys? We've been talking about big things happening in small towns. Guess what state we're going to next? Wisconsin. Steve, what is going on in... Steve, you there? Can you turn on the radio if we got you there? All right, Steve.
Hey, guys.
All right, what do you got for us?
So, little tidbit of information before we get to it. You guys were talking about the tractors driving to school.
Yeah.
And you said something about what is a Lamborghini of a tractor. I just didn't know if you guys knew that actually Lamborghini started by building tractors.
Are you kidding me?
That's how they started their company, was by building tractors.
I have heard that before. That's such a good point. Yeah, so you can actually get a Lamborghini tractor.
Interesting.
Yeah, you could. Yeah, I don't know if you can anymore, but yeah, you can Google them. They're all over on there. So
Does it
have doors on it that open up outwards?
Yes, they have the suicide doors on both sides. Every tractor driver needs to have like some gemmed sunglasses as well, gold chain necklace, and a cowboy hat that is rhinestoned.
Right. All right, Steve, we've gotten...
Mirrored sunglasses.
Sure. We've gotten so many Wisconsin things. Wisconsin must be the capital of the small town, big things happening. What's happening in Janesville?
Well, actually, I'm from the Janesville area.
Oh, okay.
But it's actually happening in South Beloit, which is right on the state line, straight north of Rockford.
Mm-hmm.
And it's actually today, it's their centennial, so 100-year anniversary, 100-year-old.
Of South Beloit.
And it's actually in conjunction with the... 9th Annual South Beloit Firefighters Association Corn Boil, too.
Oh, cool.
They have all kinds of stuff going on. Volleyball, and they got parades, and I think they got a car show, and they got Mechanical Bull, and they got all kinds of good stuff going on. Big Corn Boil, all kinds of food and whatnot at the city park. So,
Steve, are you a firefighter by any chance or no?
Well, I used to be on that department, and then on a different department now, but yeah.
Oh, cool. Yeah, both my brothers and my dad are firefighters, too. I've always wondered, because I've driven by both the Beloits, both regular and south, and I've always wondered, Beloit has the college, and it is a really liberal, fun college, and it's a really fun, smaller town. I always wondered why Beloit and South Beloit didn't just get together and just be one Beloit. I didn't know why there needed to be a South Beloit.
The state line. That's the only thing.
Oh, so is it South Beloit, Illinois, then?
Yes, South Beloit's Illinois, and Beloit is Wisconsin. That's the only thing that's keeping them apart.
That's my naivety. I'm sorry about that. Well, that's awesome. South Beloit, 100 years, and that's happening today.
That is today.
All right, that's wonderful. Hey, Steve, thanks so much for the phone call.
Awesome, guys. Thank you.
We appreciate that. So that was actually in Illinois, so that was my ignorance. South Beloit, Illinois. Have you ever been up in the Beloit area, Mike?
Beloit? Actually, I did. There was a time when I was getting my first start in radio.
Mm-hmm.
I worked as a promotions assistant at another station here in Chicago.
Before you were an executive producer.
Yes, before I was the executive producer of Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez, one of my favorite shows. And I got to travel to all of these small towns throughout Illinois, from everything from Homewood to there was literally a town called Hometown. Illinois, and a lot of places that you wouldn't really know. So Beloit was one of the great places that we went to at one time. So.
That's awesome. Any last requests through into 981-7200, but after the break, I think, Mike, we're going to be ready to name our commercial. So we've had so many. We'll recap some of the big things that are happening in small towns. Last-minute requests, you can get them in, and then Mike and I are going to pick the best one, and we're going to improv a commercial for them. So we'll take a few more if you got them. 312-981-7200, back after this on 720 WGN. WGN, the one and only Matt Bubala is off this morning. He was on all week, though. Did he have afternoons? I don't know. I heard him at some point today. It's all a blur to me. I've been up since I did the jam on CIU this morning or yesterday morning, which I actually got up 25 hours ago. So I'm rolling into hour number 26.
You've got some stamina that I've never seen before, John.
But you know what keeps me going is a text like this. So we've been talking about big things that happen in small cities. And like any good segment, it just keeps on going because we keep on getting great ones. This is the one that we've had funnier ones. We've had more unique ones. But this is the one that gets me. They're all coming from Wisconsin, by the way, for the most part.
Yeah, shout out to Wisconsin.
Shout out to Wisconsin.
Pride.
Which is one of the most underrated states. Like, if you're going to zoom out, if you're not from Illinois, I think most people here in Chicagoland know Wisconsin as this gorgeous place where a lot of people vacation. My parents went on their honeymoon there, which probably was more my dad's thing than my mom's thing.
My mom and dad met in Wisconsin.
Yeah, I mean, it's awesome. I love Wisconsin. Love vacationing up there. If you go out of the country, people are like, Wisconsin, what's that? But it's awesome. Anyways, Kenosha, Wisconsin had grill games going on this weekend. And I'm so glad that this next one is still coming up, because, Michael, I think we should go to Cheese-a-Palooza, which is what I would honestly, that's what I want the name of my wedding to be, or my funeral. I don't care. Call it Cheese-a-Palooza. There is not a slice of cheese or a block of cheese that I don't like. I've never met a cheese that I don't like. Has anyone ever met a cheese they don't like? Seriously.
I've heard that people don't like brie often.
They're idiots. Brie's awesome. I mean, it's not my favorite cheese, but cheese is so damn good.
It's
look
good.
At look what's happening on the television right now. They're cutting cheese
right now.
Cheese is so good. And I'm so glad that Wisconsin, obviously, because of their large amount of cows, they produce a lot of cheese. I even like goat cheese.
The number one cheese producer in the entire world is in Wisconsin.
Perfect. That's wonderful.
Perfect time to have a palooza there,
and that's,
too.
Yes, that's why Cheese-a-Palooza is happening in Kenosha and next weekend. That's why I just need to go, because every time we go up to Wisconsin for Lake Geneva or whatever it might be, we stop at the Cheese Castle, of course. So,
oh, Mars Cheese Castle. You know, I'm excited about the grill games, the barbecue competition and Lakefront Festival in Wisconsin. It's anything that where you're just these people who, you know, that you grill every single day of their lives. They probably warm up for this. They're probably like getting ready all year. And this is their moment to shine in the grill festival.
A lot of fun activities going on. Let us go to, I believe we're going to Steve. Steve, can you hear me? You're right here on 720 WGN. Steve, you there? Hello, Steve.
Oh, you're going.
Did I go to the wrong one?
We got Chuck.
Yeah. Hey, Steve, you there?
Yes, hello.
Hey, Steve. All right, so what do you got for us?
In Geneva, Illinois. No,
Hey,
how you doing?
Hey, is this Chuck or is this Steve? I think I just hung up on six people, by the way.
call back. We want to hear you back.
Chuck, I know you wanted to talk about, we were talking earlier about horse meat and ostrich meat, and you wanted to chime in really quickly.
Right. Well, first of all, there is no white meat on an ostrich or an emu. It's all leg meat. Their breast is only like quarter inch thick because they don't fly.
Okay.
Oh, good point.
The next thing, horse meat is Spain is right next to France.
Yeah.
French people, they eat horses like crazy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And if you go to a province up in Canada that belongs to the French, you've eaten horse meat. Because that's what they make all their breakfast sausage out of.
Oh, interesting.
And, I went up there on a fishing trip one time, and I had, you know, sausage and eggs for breakfast at the lodge where I was. And I said, you know, I says, your pigs don't taste like the pigs in the United States. And the guy said, that's because that pig wasn't a pig. That was horse meat.
Oh, wow.
And then the next thing you guys were talking about was those about the big festival. Yeah. The Roadkill Festival.
Yeah.
Bear meat tastes just like pigs, just like pork.
Oh.
I had a buddy come back from Canada, and he got one, and he gave me a nice bear roast, and it was no different than a pork roast.
All right.
That's pretty cool.
So just
eat some bear.
Trying to get you all squared away. And yes, I live in Wisconsin.
I was going
to
say, Chuck, you're a Wisconsin guy.
There's a lot of excitement, and one of the most favorite things I like to do is I like to go to the Abbey and go dancing with all those girls from Chicago that come up for the weekend. Oh, yeah.
The Abbey in Fontana, Wisconsin, right?
The Dirty Abbey.
Yep.
I've been to the Abbey. Very intense. Chuck, hey, thanks for the call. Thanks for squaring us away on all of our meets. All right, we're going to go back to Steve. Steve, I abruptly hung up on you. I apologize.
Sorry, Steve.
No problem. I was just going to say, not exactly the smallest town, but a town in Illinois this weekend is having a big, big car show. On par with the big car show out in California, the one in Monterey, the one in and what's called the Concours d'Elegance. There'll be exotic cars from all over the world. So all the Italians, German, British cars, all the exotics, as well as cool older cars like Cords, Duesenbergs, all those.
And Steve, what town is this in again?
It's in Geneva, Illinois.
Oh, in Geneva, okay.
It's on Sunday morning. It's a judge contest. Your car has to be invited to attend.
Oh, wow.
The event. And it's a judge contest in terms of cleanliness. And, you know, every part of the car is inspected. Including the undercarriage.
Wow!
So it's an amazing event, and like I said, you had to go to Carmel, California, to see an event similar to this.
And that's Sunday in Geneva, you said, Steve?
Yeah, it's on 3rd Street. It takes up the whole main street there on 3rd. And then on each side street, there'll be all these great car clubs. So there'll be the Corvette Club, the Porsche Club, the Rolls-Royce Club.
All the fancy ones, these, yeah.
Yeah, and then there's even some very cool cars, like these little ones called Messerschmitts.
Mm.
Messerschmitts.
That sounds like a cheese, yeah, that name,
the,
too.
The plane company, cheese on the mind. Plane company when, yeah, the plane company, when World War II ended, they had to not make any more weapons, and they had all these parts. They've got cars that look a little bit like a plane. It's very cool.
Oh, that's very interesting.
Just look it up on the internet. It's very cool. Messerschmitt.
That's awesome, Steve. Thank you so much. Which street does my Mazda M3 with a really dirty undercarriage go?
I don't know. Yeah, probably way out.
Yeah.
Probably way out.
That goes to Batavia. That doesn't go to Geneva.
Yeah.
Hey, Steve, right. Hey, we appreciate the call, and thanks for calling back after I abruptly hung up on you.
Thanks, Steve.
No problem. Have a good day.
Yeah, you too, Steve. Thank you very much. Oh, this has been so much fun, Michael.
Yes, it's been a blast. I loved these calls, and I loved hearing about what's going on in the rest of the world besides just here in Chicago. I mean, we live in this amazing city and this great state, but, you know, I think I might just move to Wisconsin now.
Wisconsin has got everything going on.
They know how to party.
They really know how to party. So we've had so many good ones coming on through. We had Cheezapalooza. What else do we have, Michael?
All right, let me give you a rundown of all of our callers, because we're going to be doing a live commercial, I think, after this news break.
Yeah, we'll do it after the news, but why don't you give us a rundown here?
Let's see what we had. We started off things with our buddy Ed, who talked about MILFest.
MILFest, that's right. I thought you said MILFest for a second.
Which is totally different festival.
Which is a whole other
totally
festival.
Totally different festival.
Also in Wisconsin.
Then we had Alan, our buddy from Yellville, who had the Turkey Trot Festival.
That
which
one
is
was good.
Really great. Mm-hmm. We had James from Winoka? Winneke? Who?
Winnetka. I don't remember a Winnetka.
What was the name that that Jess had written kind of wrong?
Minocqua.
Minocqua.
Way different Minocqua. Than Winnetka. Sorry, we had James.
Sorry about that, Jess.
That's okay.
Now, we had James talking about Sovereign State Days.
That's a good one. That was a good one.
He lives in a place of the skulls, which is really cool. We had Bob with Beef-A-Rama.
Uh-huh. That was a good one, too. All right, so this is going to be the music underneath the commercial. We're going to do this after the news break, actually, Jessica. Is that cool with everyone? Or is that Roger? Oh, more Simon and Garfunkel coming. And
I love it.
We all looked around frantically, like, who is playing this music?
You know I'm a sneak.
Now we're really rocking.
What else do we have, Michael?
We had a lot of other good ones, too. We had Steve with the car show from
Geneva.
From Geneva. Chuck, who talked about the Abbey that was going on.
was just him wanting to hook up with some girls from Chicago. That was not a festival. That was just Chuck wanting to get some in Fontana.
I stand by you, Chuck.
Let's go ahead and make that a festival. Chuck getting some in Fontana.
Chuck-a-palooza.
Chuck-fest.
Chuck-fest. It was like...
Don't say... Yeah, that sounds like beef... Never mind. All right.
It sounds like Chuck and Pumpkin.
Well, we're going to get to our favorite one. If you've got a favorite, text us. We'd like to help out with those votes. What was your favorite big thing happening in small towns? Mike and I will do a live commercial for that after the news, but it is 4:01. And, Mike, where's the read for that one?
And
you go ahead and do that one.
And, you know, this is actually Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago and WGNRadio.com. If you're an Amazon Echo user, just say play WGN Radio on TuneIn. Make sure you play it on TuneIn. We got our news with Roger Badish. It is 4:02, and here is our man, Roger Badish.
Oh, this song just makes me happy. 720 WGN. It is a wonderful 4:08 on this Saturday morning, and a nice day here in Chicago. Roger, thanks so much for the news. Obviously, very serious stuff. What's happening in South Texas? We appreciate you keeping abreast, man. You know what's so freaky about that is obviously the strength of the hurricane as it makes landfall as a Category 4. Even Hurricane Katrina was upper Category 3 when it made landfall.
Yeah.
But just the path of it, they don't know what's going to happen. They think it's going to just keep on stalling and going
off.
Yeah,
it's moved in, like I said, it's moved in a couple of miles and just kind of stalling there, trying to decide. They were saying it was going to go northwest.
Right.
And it just, it hasn't really moved in the spot. I've been looking at the radar.
That's when it gets dangerous. That's when you're going to get 40 inches, 50 inches of rain, which, just to put in context, when we had the flooding in the north suburbs, I mean, you're talking about 7 to 12 inches there at most. You're talking
about
40 inches of rain. So many
thoughts. And here's the other thing. Without knowing where it's going to go or how fast, because it's stalled now, you don't know which towns to evacuate.
Yeah, you have no idea.
And that's a massive effort. So,
right. And there's even thoughts that it might bounce back out into the Gulf due to the high pressure in the area and then re-energize. I mean, that when it gets to the warmer water of the Gulf.
Definitely it'll
and then
re-energize.
Could go into southwestern Louisiana.
Yeah.
I mean, people forget with Hurricane Katrina in 2005 that it actually hit off the southern coast of Florida. Everyone remembers
that's
the news
right.
of that. And then it as a critical category one, and it went out to the Gulf and then re-energized and did it. So, you know, lots of thoughts. If anyone has any friends or family in South Texas, obviously, hopefully they're out of the area. But this is going to be a major story for the next week or so. And, you know, regardless of your political beliefs, I think we're all behind FEMA at this point and the director. And hopefully everyone's safe down there. Thoughts there as well.
Yeah.
Okay, so we've been talking about big things happening in small towns. This has been one of my favorite segments ever, Michael. We've
Absolutely.
Had some fun ones here. So,
this is great.
We got a couple finalists. Let's narrow it down to the top three big things that are happening in small towns. And what's number three? What are you going to go with, Michael?
All right, number three. It was one of the best calls we had.
Okay,
but it's the festival was not able to knock out our top two.
Okay,
that was from caller James, who has the Sovereign State Days.
That was fun. I liked that one. That was in Wisconsin. West of Appleton, near Waupaca, where a state wanted to just leave the Union, and they celebrate that. And there's a musical going to be coming out about it, and a 93-year-old still alive from it. So Sovereign States gets number three. Congratulations.
Congratulations, Sovereign States.
Okay.
With number two, this is where it got a little bit close. From caller Bob, we have Beef-O-Rama.
Beef-O-Rama.
Great, great festival happening out in Kenosha. One of their biggest festivals that they have.
But don't go early, because it's too thick then. It's too busy.
You don't want to go to the thick beef.
And you don't want a thick beef. That's a filet. You want to wait for the marrow, apparently, later on in the evening. That's when all the fun happens. And the number one big thing happening in a small town is, Michael?
From caller Allen, we have the Turkey Trot Festival happening in Yellville.
And we promised a live commercial for what is happening in Yellville, Arkansas. So, Jessica, I think we have some music ready, some background music. Why don't we hit that? And, Michael, you and I are going to exchange lines here. We're going to give them a shout-out. Here is what's happening with the Turkey Trot in Yellville, Arkansas. Picture this, a beautiful morning. Everyone awakens to the sound of cock-a-doodle-doo. You look in the sky, and what do you see, Michael?
Yee-haw! Welcome to Yellville. It's the 72nd annual Turkey Trot Festival happening in our beautiful, beautiful town.
Is it a bird? Is it a plane? It's both. It's a plane dropping a bird from the sky.
And be sure to get there quick so you can see it in all its glory. But don't you try to eat it, though.
No.
And don't you try to find that plane.
Right.
Because it's a mystery.
The Turkey Trot has gone on since 1946, conceived as a way to call attention to the region's abundant wild turkeys. And the highlight of the turkey toss, wild turkeys tossed from the roof of the county courthouse. But in the 1960s, they decided to throw a plane in the air instead, which gave inspiration to WKRP Turkey Drop.
And all you beautiful girls out there, we are not going to leave you out of this. In fact, we have a beauty pageant, and get ready to get those drumsticks ready. We're talking your legs, because you're going to be sticking them through some holes here at the Turkey Trot Festival.
It's the Miss Drumsticks Beauty Contest. Winners are chosen. Their faces are hidden. Their upper bodies are hidden behind a cardboard turkey cutout. All we see are your legs. And PETA has tried to shut this festival down. That's a true statement. But it still continues. It's the Yelvy Turkey Trot. Every single year.
Come by, enjoy our parade.
This God is my witness. I thought turkeys could fly.
We have our sponsor, a 1980s TV show as well.
Yes, exactly.
Come by for the parade, stay for the beauty pageant here in beautiful, beautiful Yellville.
That's wonderful. Enjoy the Turkey Trot this year. Just a wonderful festival. Oh, that's amazing. Thank you so much for Alan for the call, who woke up with cramps and decided to call us and let us know about the turkey trot. All right, Michael, we got to take a quick commercial break. We're going to talk about a little, you want to do Chicago trivia or song lyrics? I don't know what we want to do. I don't know if we got time for song lyrics. We'll figure it out during the break.
Yeah. Because I do have this test here for you, John, because at one time I had mentioned, I do an intro for Patty's show, and I said Illinois instead of Illinois.
Oh, man, I did not like that.
And that kind of threw everything off the rails. Yeah. So I have a quick quiz before we go into song lyrics. It's only one in 50 Chicago locals can ace this slang challenge, and I wanted to see if you can do it yourself.
It's a slang challenge coming up at 720 WGN. Oh, my God, Jessica. Preach, girl. Yeah, I love it. Little Whitney here on this Saturday morning. It is 4:17. You're listening to 720 WGN. Matt Bubala is out tonight. It's Michael Heideman and myself. Mike filling in for Esmeralda, who's filling in for Matt.
And John filling in for Kevin, who is in here as well.
Mm-hmm. What a fun night we've been having, or morning, you could say. We've been talking about big things that happen in small towns. We've put a bow on that segment. Mm-hmm. And Mike, you found this interesting little tidbit quiz, right?
Yes, I did. So I've lived in Chicago nearly all of my life. I went to DePaul. I went to a community college as well. I've been in and out of Chicago.
You also went to another college.
I went to a few other colleges.
You had some college. You went on a little tour.
I have 15 degrees. Anyway, there's this quiz that's out, and I'm trying to get more, you know, just down with the slang here in the city. And this quiz said only 1 in 50 Chicago locals can ace this challenge.
1 in 50.
In 50.
About local slang.
Yes. And I wanted to just see if I could test you a little bit on it and see, and Jess as well, and see if you guys knew where
and,
these words came
from. And Roger's from Chicago.
Oh, yeah. Roger, of course.
So if we're stumped, Roger's our lifeline.
Yeah, that's not going to work.
Old Pudgy Grumps? What was your name?
Pudgy Grumps.
Sludgy I like Pudge? I don't know.
Sludgy what?
All right, so we got the call line out to Sludgy Pudge if you want.
312-981-7200. Looking for Sludgy Pudge. Fifth caller. No, sorry.
All right, guys. So here we go. We're going to start with a little easy one.
Okay.
The word is pop. Is this A, your dad, B, a dance move, or C, this should be all catchphrase for all carbonated drinks.
That's C. We call it pop here.
Jess?
C.
Yeah.
C is correct.
Yeah, we call it pop. We don't call it soda, right, Roger?
No.
Yep.
He's in pain with that
Thanks
one.
Thanks for the enthusiastic.
We've got the Chicago mix. Now, is this A, caramel and cheddar cheese popcorn, B, a reference to the spring season being cold, or C, the radio station here in Chicago?
It's A. It's the popcorn, of course.
Jess?
C.
Roger?
Jess, I have one thing to say to you.
Yeah. Exactly. It is A, right?
It is A. The caramel and cheddar cheese popcorn.
She's from Caneville or something.
I like the popcorn, too.
That's a Chicago mix. All right.
Can I vote for both of those?
Nope. Sorry.
You can't vote for both of them.
You're the loser.
You can't have your radio station and your popcorn and eat it, too, or something like that.
That's right. Or else you get ousted to Yellville. what is LSD in Chicago
speak? Lakeshore Drive. Next question. What do we need the options for, right?
Come on, you're running out of time. We got to move this along.
All right, next question. We have three.
Okay, it's the city. Let me get you a little bit harder one here. Okay. Okay, here's a good one. Wet or dry? Now, John, hold off for a second. Keep it appropriate for the radio as well. Is it A, a question you always get about the weather? B, a question about how you like your Italian beef? Or C, a question on the L train monitor always asks?
I mean, wet or dry is what you look at when you sit down at the L to make sure, because that's always
a
problem.
Look first.
That's a good point. On Hotel Red Line, but it's obviously the Italian beef.
Okay, Jess, what do you think?
Now that I've shamed her, she's like, I'll just say what John
does. I think I'm going to go with John.
Oh, okay.
Sorry.
Roger, what's the answer here?
Ding, 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 ding.
Yes. It is the how you like your Italian beef.
Okay.
All right. Okay. I got two really good ones here. What time we got here?
Oh, we got plenty of time.
Perfect.
Slow down.
Okay. Which do you wear? Do you wear A, track shoes, B, gym shoes, or C, tennis shoes? Here in Chicago slang, what are we talking about? John?
Gym shoes.
Jess?
Easy.
Gym shoes all the way.
Nice. Roger?
Ding, ding, ding.
Yeah. That is correct. We got gym shoes.
There was a
happening.
Really fascinating article about that, and I was shocked at how little of the country said gym shoes. In fact, I think if I remember this correctly, I'll have to pull this up. I think gym shoes was just Chicago, the outlying suburbs.
Maybe, really?
Yeah. It might have been New York, maybe, too. Here, well, you stole it and get rid of it. I don't even think it was New York. I think it was just Chicago and parts of Cheeseland. I don't know. Let me look this up.
You know what? I'm going to put this out to the listeners while John puts this out as well. Call us and text us, 312-981-7200. If you know these answers before our hosts do, then call us in and let us know. Here is a tough one that I'm not even really sure what the answer is, to be honest. But I'd like to hear your opinion. If you want $10, you might ask for blank. And this is A, Sawbucks, B, 100 dimes, or C, jam.
If you ask for $10, what are the options? Sawbucks?
Sawbucks, 100 dimes, or jam?
I don't know this. Do you know this one, Jessica? Well, Chicago slang. Roger, do you have any idea? You're in Chicago.
I believe it's A.
I think it's Sawbucks, too.
Yeah,
Sawbucks. But I've never heard that.
So you've never heard Sawbucks?
No.
The
no,
first one just sounds like coffee to me.
That's
if you've got a
Sawbucks.
Sawbucks.
All right.
I want a Frappuccino from Sawbucks.
Sawbucks. I would have said 100 dimes, and I would have actually been very wrong.
Yeah.
In fact, in the mid-1900s, Sawbuck became street slang originally in Chicago, originating in Chicago for a $10 bag of marijuana. And since 1985 or so, the term has referred to a $10 bag, any kind of package, not just a street drug.
That explains why Roger knew it.
You can talk to me after the show.
Now I know why everyone just goes for Sawbucks at the middle of these shows often.
You got to get a Frappuccino or whatever it is.
You'll get frapped, all right.
Bazinga.
By the way, can we go back just for one second,
yes,
Michael?
Yes, we can.
I looked at, this was on SB Nation, the reference to whether it's tennis shoes, sneakers, or gym shoes. And the two cities that call it gym shoes, and it is this isolated. Seriously, I'm going to flip around this map for you, Michael. Sneakers is the entire Northeast. They say sneakers in northeastern Pennsylvania, New Jersey, New York, Connecticut, Massachusetts, Vermont, New Hampshire, and Maine, and Rhode Island, got all those. They call it sneakers in South Florida, which makes sense. A lot of the migrating old people.
Okay.
Well, that's
I resemble that remark.
Right. It's tennis shoes everywhere else. From the East Coast, from the Carolinas, West Virginia, strong in Arkansas, through the Missouri Valley, through the Midwest and Great Plains, through the West, Southwest, Northwest, and California, Alaska, Hawaii, all its tennis shoes. There are two places, Wisconsin, tennis shoes, Minnesota, tennis shoes, Michigan, tennis shoes. There's two places they call it gym shoes, which shocks me because I've only ever called them gym shoes.
Yeah.
It's Chicago. Can anyone else guess the other city? There's one other city that calls them gym shoes.
Yes, Yellsville.
Yeah.
is that it?
No.
Florida Keys.
No.
Milwaukee?
No.
Fruita, Colorado.
No, it's not Fruita. Jessica, any guesses? Where else do we call them gym shoes? In the United States. It's fascinating. I'm so curious on why. It's in Ohio City. Anyone?
Pickerington, Ohio.
No. It's Cincinnati.
Oh.
They call them gym shoes in Cincinnati.
Now, does that speak on our school system, or is that speaking on the type of Foot Lockers that they have?
I don't know.
Is there a great Quiznos?
I never would have guessed that.
I don't know what the connection is between our two cities, why Cincinnati and Chicago, they call them gym shoes. And literally everywhere else, it's either sneakers or tennis shoes. And that's obviously a generalization. That's the preferred, the overall one, but that's fascinating.
I think you just started a beef between Chicago and Cincinnati.
A beef-o-rama, certainly.
I knew you were going to say that.
Any other questions for us, Michael?
Yes, we do. We have two more before the news break. I can make it three if we need to. But here's a really good one that I know for a fact that is purely Chicago, because I had a friend from Florida come down, and they didn't know what the heck I was talking about when I said the word jardiniere.
Oh. Okay.
Now, jardiniere, Jess is on the phone, so I'm going to hold off on her for a second. But we have a garden in central Chicago, which most of the people have their weddings at.
Mm-hmm.
B, a pickled blend of peppers, celery, carrots, and more. Or C, your neighborhood Italian grandmother. Jardiniere.
B.
Roger?
Ding, 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 ding.
Exactly. We love our jardinera. There's a woman that's Miss Jardinera. She collects jardinera all over Chicago. DNA Info did a fascinating story on
really?
Her. Yeah, for sure. Iowa chimes in the 847 tennis shoes for Iowa, which according to the map is correct. I would never call them tennis shoes. I play tennis and I don't call them tennis shoes.
What do you call your tennis shoes then?
Gym shoes. Mm. They're all gym shoes.
Yeah.
Everything if I run in them, if I go to the gym.
Yeah.
If you go to the gym, they're called gym. Okay,
gym, run, tennis. I call baseball cleats, but
yes,
you know, those are very specific.
If you're wearing the cleats.
What? Do, yeah, yeah.
Because
sure.
I wear my gym shoes when I'm playing softball.
Yeah, yeah. I'm so curious if anyone is from Cincinnati. First of all, I want to confirm this. Like, I really want to know that that's actually what this map is correct. Mm-hmm. So if you're from Cincinnati, you know someone from Cincinnati, 312-91-7200. I want to confirm via text or phone whether they actually call them gym shoes there.
And might I just add, we had two texters who texted in from the 630 and the 708 who both knew Sawbucks.
Very good.
So I've never even heard that word before. So good to them. That
they all
it.
Been smoking. All right, we got to take a quick commercial break. We'll be back with the news after this on 720 WGN.
Chicago's political conversation, the Sunday Spin.
Governor Rauner says he'll sign legislation that will prevent immigrants from being detained by local police based solely on their legal status. We'll talk to supporters of the bill, and we'll get a look at Washington from suburban Democratic Congressman Raja Krishnamoorthy.
The Sunday Spin with Chicago Tribune political reporter Rick Pearson. Sunday morning at 7 on 720 WGN.
The best-kept secret for luxury and ruggedness? Land Rover. The best-kept secret to obtain an approved, certified pre-owned Land Rover? Howard Orloff's Land Rover Chicago. Did you know Howard Orloff's Land Rover Chicago has been proudly serving Chicagoland for over 55 years? And did you know right now at Howard Orloff's Land Rover Chicago, you can buy a 2014 certified pre-owned Range Rover Sport for only $53,988? And did you know approved certified pre-owned Land Rover models include a 6-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, a 165-point inspection, and 24/7 roadside assistance? Isn't it time you know Howard Orloff's Land Rover Chicago? Visit Howard Orloff's Land Rover Chicago, just off the Kennedy at Armitage, or online at howardorlofflandrover.com.
Stock number P14154, plus tax, title, license, and dock fee. Coverage begins on the vehicle's original date of retail sale or in-use date. See Howard Orloff's Land Rover Chicago for details. Offer expires 8/31/17.
Fix that leaky chimney. If you see signs of water within 10 feet of your chimney or fireplace, call Lindeman Chimney at 877-WOOD-890 or go to cleanfireplace.com.
Are you up bright and early this morning listening to the radio because you're having trouble sleeping? Well, it might be that flat, worn-out pillow you've been sleeping on for years. It's time for you to try a MyPillow and join the millions of people who are getting the best sleep of their lives. And you can try one absolutely risk-free. Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-299-9579. MyPillow is offering their signature four-pack special at 50% off. Just use promo code WGN at checkout for 50% off their four-pack special. They'll even throw in free shipping. And on top of a 10-year warranty, MyPillow is so confident that you'll love your new pillow that they'll give you a 60-night money-back guarantee. Sleep on it. And if you don't believe us that it's the absolute best pillow out there, return it for a full refund. Try MyPillow and see why customers have described them as, quote, life-changing. Call 800-299-9579 or log on to MyPillow.com. Use promo code WGN. Well, it's the last one we're doing with you, Roger, but we made it on time. It's 4:30. It's news time. Here's Roger Banish. Yeah. 720 WGN, John Hanson and Michael Heidemann in for Matt Abubala. 720 WGN. We have an awesome segment coming up about school bullying, and we're going to get to it in just 1 second. We got an awesome guest. I cannot wait to talk to her. But first, really quickly, we've been talking about this gym shoes, tennis shoes debate. There was an article showing that where people refer to it as tennis shoes, sneakers, or gym shoes. And it was very unique that there was in Chicagoland, I mean, most of our listeners probably that are in the area, they refer to them as gym shoes. And the only other place that is like that is Cincinnati. And it's that's just strange.
It's very strange. Right. Yeah.
I don't know why. I want someone to explain to me why. We've had a few texts in. Iowa says they call it tennis shoes. They also say that they say supper in Iowa, dinner in Chicago. There's plenty of things like that.
The Last Supper.
But we got to go to Vicky. Vicky, are you from Cincinnati?
Yes.
All right, Vicky, what do you say? Do you say gym shoes, tennis shoes, or sneakers?
Gym shoes all the way.
Right? Okay, so do you have any idea why it's us and it's you and it's nobody else?
I don't know what the connection is, but it's been that way since I was a child, and that was a while ago. So, it was always gym shoes.
Vicky, right? were you always
gym shoes with me?
Were you always from Cincinnati too, or did you grow up somewhere else?
No, I grew up in Cincinnati. Spent 40 years there.
Okay.
So, yeah, this is legit Cincinnati. Do you like Skyline Chili?
Oh, I love it.
All right, so then
I go home and I still have Skyline every time I go home.
That was your shibboleth. That was your test to make sure that you were actually from Cincinnati in case we had screened you incorrectly. But yeah, so clearly you're from Cincinnati. We have a texter from this woman named Sandy. She says gym shoes because schools required special shoes to be worn on the gym floor, the wooden basketball court floor. But they have wooden basketball courts everywhere across the country.
Yeah.
Why would it be Chicago and Cincinnati? Vicky, are you as perplexed as we are about this?
Yeah, because I really didn't know that Chicago, that they were gym shoes. But, yeah. I don't go and I don't talk to anybody that much from over there.
Yeah.
But it's weird.
Isn't that weird?
Cincinnati fits in with Chicago on anything. Yeah. I mean, they're completely.
We don't agree on football, baseball, politics, or anything else. But Vicky, we like our gym shoes.
Yes, we do.
All right. Hey, thank you so much for the call, Vicky. I appreciate the confirmation on that one. I had to know.
Yeah, that was great.
What was going on there. So, yeah, I'm kind of curious now why those two are connected. But we do got to change gears here a little bit.
Go ahead. I wanted to say it is really interesting, the fact that it's just us in Cincinnati.
Yeah.
It almost brings me back to how the Inuit Eskimos have like 50 words for snow. And the fact that we only have one word for shoes here.
Yeah, our two cities.
It just blows my mind.
Absolutely. No, that's really cool. That's a little quirky thing. I really want to get to the bottom of why those two things are connected, but Michael will have to leave that for another time.
Gosh.
We've got a really awesome guest next, and her name is Abby Sager, and Abby joins us now on 720 WGN. Abby, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Wonderful. And thank you so much for joining us. And your story is incredible. And I thought it'd be a great way to kind of wake people up on a Saturday morning. It's inspirational. There's some sad aspects to it, too. But you've really done a lot of amazing things. I'm reading here that you were bullied to the point where you actually dropped out of high school. And now you're trying to stop bullying in a way that's really relatable to today's teenagers. So why don't we back up a little bit, Abby? Where are you from? And why don't you walk us through at least a little bit about the experiences that you went through in high school?
Well, I'm actually from northern New Jersey, where I do want to bring up me and my family actually call tennis shoes gym shoes.
Oh, I was just going to ask you. Wait, so you're northern Jersey and you call them gym shoes?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so this happens in other places around the world. Okay.
According to this map, you're supposed to say sneakers. Does anyone around you say sneakers, or what do they say?
They do. But for me, when I was in high school, my dad, especially since I played a lot of sports, he would just always say gym shoes because sneakers would just feel more casual.
Does your dad have any roots to Chicago or Cincinnati by any chance?
No, he does not. My entire family from New Jersey originally, so
Well, you've made this mystery even deeper, Abby, which we appreciate. I think for our next show, we're just going to have to dive into this and only this. But
4 hours of sneaker talk.
Yeah, exactly. So please join us for 3 hours next week, Abby. We'd really appreciate it. I'm glad we're laughing now, but it really is a serious subject. You know, I was in high school like 15, 20 years ago now, which is shocking for me to say, but I mean, bullying was a thing, but I think like with social media these days and we're all so connected, man, bullying is a real problem, and it really was for you too, right, Abby?
Oh, yeah. I would get bullied in high school, in school where I went, but I'd also get bullied on social media. And with the advances in social media, it is so much easier to bully or harass someone on those types of platforms. And for me, it just became too much, to the point where I did drop out of high school my junior year. And it was something that I honestly don't regret doing, because it's probably one of the best decisions I've ever made in my life.
It's interesting, because I think a lot of listeners, and I am right there with you, Abby, I was bullied a little bit in high school too, maybe not to your extent, but some of our listeners are from another generation. They might say something like, oh, come on, bullying happens to everyone. Why did you feel the need that you actually had to kind of remove yourself from that situation?
Well, I think that, again, bullying is different with everyone. And for me, I have mental health issues, and it just became so much of a problem that it affected me and how I lived my life. And I didn't want anything to control me, and I wanted to control my own life. So I made that decision to drop out of high school, and it is significant. Increase how I feel and how my control of life is.
Yeah, it's a fantastic, fantastic organization that you have here. And, you know, at Diverse Gaming Coalition, you mentioned the fact that you're able to kind of break away from this cliche kind of trending thing that's happening about these anti-bullying campaigns. How does your campaign kind of differ itself from the other ones that we see on a day-to-day basis?
Our campaign is different because, for me at least, I never really liked sitting down in a high school assembly and just having information kind of thrown at us and have a presenter or whoever saying that this is the problem, this is what we need to do. I think there is more unique tactics that people can use to combat bullying, and I think that's what my whole organization is about, especially with our new project with our comic books. I think the entire point is to grab the attention of people that wouldn't have been interested before, and really get their attention and have them realize that bullying is an issue that people need to be worried about.
And Abby, that's really what's so unique about your organization, that you kind of have created these comic books to kind of tell this story, and you're going to be debuting them, or you just did debut them at FlameCon in Brooklyn on August 19th. So walk us through, have you always been interested in comic books? Is that something you've related to? Do you do the sketches? Do you do the stories? How do these things manifest themselves?
So growing up, I never really had an interest in comic books until I moved to the Pittsburgh area where I live now. This is such a big comic book area. That it kind of just sparked my interest ever since I moved here. And I actually do some work at a local comic book store down in Morgantown, West Virginia, called Four Horsemen Comics and Gaming. They've been a tremendous help to my organization, and the people there, the regulars there, have been so kind and open to my ideas that comic books, I feel like, they're such a supportive community, the people who are interested in comic books. I felt like it was just a perfect fit.
Who are your characters in these comic books?
So we have three main characters. We have our first character, Asher. They are non-binary, mm-hmm. And they're also a person of color. We chose to do this because back in May, we held an event at the comic book store I was talking about to create a community-based comic book. We wanted the community input on what to kind of have in this comic book, what kind of aspects of bullying we should hit. And after having that event, we met a non-binary person there, and they expressed to us their instances of bullying in our own community, and I felt it was something I had to tackle, so I went and put that in our comic. And our other two characters, Shelly, who is kind of your typical teenager who kind of helps Asher along the way, and Daryl, who is the bully in the comic book.
You know, it's interesting. Abby, because you're tackling very important issues. And, you know, bullying has no color, no creed, no sexual orientation. It happens to everyone. But you've definitely identified with people of color and LGBT community, the genderqueer community, the non-binary community. It really is an area that we're learning a lot more about, and that they are specifically bullied, and more so maybe than other parts of the population. Is that something you wanted to tackle to kind of show that, you know, bullying does have victims of all sorts of different kinds?
Yeah, we definitely wanted to address that because, again, bullying comes in no color, no creed, no gender. But we also wanted to show how bullying can differentiate depending on what your sexual orientation is, what your gender identity is, because it is such a real issue that is happening today, and people don't realize that LGBT people have higher rates of suicide due to bullying. So it's something that we definitely wanted to hit and wanted to tackle to show that it is a real issue.
Well, you know, sorry, Michael, I didn't mean to interrupt, but one other side about this, you mentioned the bully character, and you know what's fascinating about bullying, you know, being a little bit removed from the age in which bullying happens, you know, I'm in my 30s now, it doesn't really happen as much, of course. Often we learn so much more about bullies and why they bully and how vulnerable they actually are in real life. Does your comic kind of tackle that, or is the bully seen as the villain, or is there some humanity given to the bully as well, that maybe there were experiences in their life that caused them to be a bully?
We do. So we plan to make this a series, so our first comic doesn't tackle that as much, but we do have educational resources attached with our comic that we plan to hit about the psychological aspects of a bully and why they do what they do. But our second comic book, we hope to tackle that a little bit more just because bullies are sometimes not always the villain. Sometimes they're the victims themselves. Sometimes they're going through just as much thing as the person that they're bullying. So there's always two sides to stories, and we plan to tackle that within the next couple comic books we hope to create.
Yeah. Abby, you know, I'm going to throw some statistics at you from your site. You say about 58% of kids admit someone has said something mean or hurtful to them online. Over 4 out of 10 people say it has happened more than once, but 90% of teens who have seen social media bullying say that they've actually ignored it. So I did want to know, what kind of feedback are you getting from the people that you're helping, and are there any surprises about the people who are coming out of the woodwork to work with your organization? Like, you must be getting a lot of people who are getting bullied but doing the bullying themselves.
Yeah, so I've gotten a lot of positive feedback from my community down here in southwestern Pennsylvania. They have been saying this is something that is really needed because it's almost taboo and not really talked about, especially the social media aspect, because, again, 90% of people who say they've seen social media bullying said that they've ignored it. And I, for one, could say I've been guilty of that. I'm sure plenty of people have been guilty of that. But it's something that I felt the need that needs to be addressed, and people have come up to me and said, well, now that I realize that, I feel like I should maybe jump in once in a while and try to protect some people that maybe should feel the need to be protected. And I've also had people come up to me and again, with our non-binary character, express to me instances of them being bullied and in my own community. And it's something that not only is heartbreaking, but it goes to show that they're open about talking about it, and they're open about wanting to do something about it. So the response from the community has been tremendous, and I couldn't have been more happy with it.
And I got to ask, because you said that dropping out of high school was one of the best things that ever happened to you, and obviously that's a very individual decision for other people out there. Did you end up getting a GED? Do you have the equivalency of high school then to at least, you know, be able to move on to colleges and stuff like that? Because obviously I don't think we want to go out and say, hey, everyone, education isn't important. Obviously we want people to be able to further educate themselves if they want to do that.
Yeah, Yeah. So I actually did receive my GED, and I'm actually a sophomore in college right now.
Oh, wonderful.
Studying New Hampshire University. But when I did live in northern New Jersey, there was this program available to me called New Bridge Services, and they basically help high school dropouts not only obtain a GED, but help with resumes, college applications, jobs, figuring out what someone wants to do with their life if they're unsure what they want to do. That program helped me grow as a person tremendously. And honestly, if it weren't for that program, if I just went and got my GED, I think where I would be now would be completely different.
This is such an inspirational and great campaign and organization that you have, Abby. And I feel like I should have done more when I was a sophomore in college when I'm reading about you.
Mike went to like 9 different colleges, Abby. So yeah,
and I nearly dropped out of all of them, but I did end up getting my degree. I did want to know, you know, what kind of advice can you yourself give to somebody who is kind of getting bullied right now in school, who doesn't really want to speak up? I mean, there's a lot of silent voices out there that are looking for someone like you to speak for them. So what kind of advice could you give them?
I agree with that, and I think there's a lot of resources out there for people that feel that way. For me, I was lucky enough to have that resource to be able to move past high school. But going to a guidance counselor and seeing if there's options, another option that was available to me was to start community college early.
Yeah.
There's plenty of options with counseling. I think my school also offered free counseling to the past guidance counselors at the high school. They had groups that were not really advertised as much. They were more private. There were groups to help people if there was if they were going through family problems, or they were a part of the LGBT community and were kind of silent about that. So there are resources available to you, and really just kind of asking is the first step. Seeing if they're looking and seeing if there's anything available to you, because if you do want help, you should take the initiative for yourself, because that's the best thing that you could do for yourself.
Abby, you're really an inspiration to a lot of people out there for, you know, absorbing a lot of that bullying and then kind of spitting it out in a way that helps other people. And for more information on Diverse Gaming Coalition, visit www.diversegaming.co. And thank you so much, Abby, for joining us today.
Thank you.
And best of luck out there. Quick break. We'll wrap things up here on 720 WGN. Michael, this was fun.
This was a blast, John. I'm so glad that we got to finally work together.
Yeah.
The time went by very, very quickly.
You did very well for Esmeralda.
Oh, thank you.
And I
you.
Did very well for Kevin. I hope you...
You put Kevin... you honored his presence very nicely.
Well, the most professional person here at WGN is coming up next. So if you didn't think this was professional, luckily we got Big O coming up next.